from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
One, two,
ladies and gentlemen.
Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Thank
you, Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Question for you. Do you swear in front of your parents?
Yes, and my mother gets very offended.
Does she?
Yeah. Yeah. She asked me, like, where I learned that kind of language from.
Still?
Yeah.
At this age?
Yeah. Who taught you to talk that way? What kind of language is this in my house?
Because I've always had very open language with my parents. It's never really been a thing.
Yeah.
Swearing is sort of, it's an art for me. I quite enjoy swearing.
We, in our house now, we swear a lot in front of our kid.
Yeah.
Right? But not in a way that's... not on purpose. It's just part of our everyday language.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes I have to, and I know that some people may be uncomfortable with it outside of our home.
Yeah.
And I have to, I catch myself sometimes, like if we're at the mall or especially when we're at his little baby gym.
Yeah.
Around other parents. Like if I say something, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. It's tough.
It may be uncomfortable for them.
It's tough. Roxy was watching something the other day where she heard somebody say, holy shiitake mushrooms for the first time. And the look on her face at first was like, what? Because it was on like a super kid station.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She kind of like she was like thrown back. Like, how did this get into my show? And she suddenly felt like responsibility for it. Like she was going to have to justify what she was watching. But people don't. But I remember there was all sorts of words that were alternatives for profanity when we were growing up that were sort of borderline. I don't mean like generic, like flipping heck, right?
Fudge buckets,
right? Flipping heck. Nobody says that anymore. Nobody tells anybody to flip off anymore either. Here, let me give you some here. Yeah. Fudge nuggets. Fudge nuggets, Maury.
I've never sworn in front of my dad.
You've never sworn in front of your dad.
I can't. And when Matthew does, I get angry at him.
Really?
Are you serious? Like,
I cannot bring myself to do it. I'm almost a 40-year-old man. I've never sworn in front of Frank.
I found a list of profanity alternatives here that may help you out, Maury, or anybody else who's never sworn in front of their parents.
Will it be obvious what the alternative is to?
No, these are just things that you should keep a file of in your head if you're ever in a position where you think maybe profanity might not be the most appropriate language, i.e. Okay. Maury with his dad, who are both grown men, which is weird.
Grown men.
So Maury, the exercise here is with each of these, pretend like you have just stubbed your toe and then shout these out appropriately.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Is cheese and rice.
Oh, cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice.
I'm literally yanking my foot.
People say that. Of course, the classic sugar.
Oh, sugar.
Right. Fudge nuggets.
Fudge nuggets.
that's a good one. Snickerdoodle.
Oh, snickerdoodle.
instead of God damn it, God bless it.
Oh, God bless it.
I don't know how this made it on the list, but it's very high on the list, which is Barbra Streisand.
Oh, Barbra Streisand! I've used that one, by the way.
Barbra Streisand?
Yeah. 6 and 2 is 8.
Oh, 6 and 2 is 8!
You know what?
Yeah.
That's a lot to remember.
That is a lot to remember.
In a time when you're in a frustrated state.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to need to print these out.
And then there's shucks, there's darn, there's dang, there's dag nabbit. Dang rabbit.
Dag nabbit.
Dag gummit. Jumping Jiminy.
What am I, 96?
Egad. The classic son of a gun. Maury, try out Jiminy Crickets.
Oh, Jiminy Crickets!
give me a Caesar's Ghost.
Oh, Caesar's Ghost!
I've never heard anyone say Caesar's
Neither
Ghost.
Okay. What about Merlin's Pants as a profanity alternative?
Ooh!
Merlin's Pants.
Am I going to do that one?
Yeah.
Oh, Merlin's Pants!
These are all profanity alternatives.
Written by who? Ron Jeremy?
No, there's a list. There's a list.
Not Ron Jeremy. Ron Burgundy. That's
just
what I wanted to say.
Ron Jeremy.
Equally as funny.
Wow.
Ron Burgundy. Ron Burgundy.
Jeez. Yeah, that would, so there you go. But
in our house,
I,
we've used Sarah Jessica Parker.
Is that what you do when you stub your toe?
Not when I stub my toe, but if I'm swearing at Matthew I've in front of my dad, I've used Sarah Jessica Parker.
In what context?
If I, okay, the last time I used it was 2 weeks ago over at the house. I just was like, Sarah Jessica Parker, hand me that. You know, something like that.
Dadgummit, Maury. We're going to take Rob's call real quick. Hey, man.
So I wanted to know, how do you guys, if you guys have such potty mouths at home, how do you guys censor yourselves and, like, keep it clean on the radio?
I've never, it's the weirdest thing, dude. I've never even come close to slipping.
Yeah. I honestly, when I had kids, I had to, like, stop swearing altogether at the office because, like, I can't just turn it off when I go home.
Yeah, like Mocha and I will be having a full conversation when we're not on the air, and it will be like profanity laced.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like David Mamet wrote it for us. And then as soon as we go on the radio, we never slip. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
There's times where, honestly, where I hear some people who, like, it's constant out of their mouth that I'm just like, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, I only notice somebody's profanity when I realize that they're not good at it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that when somebody's really good at profanity and where to use words and how to use words, you almost don't even notice it. But when somebody uses profanity because of a lack of
knowledge?
Ability to use words to express how they feel, then that's when I really notice it. But when I speak to somebody who is intelligent and has a point to be made and articulate, and what they say is just full of profanity, I don't actually even hear the profanity.
Right.
Is it too late to start swearing in front of your parents?
Jeez, that's a great question. Have you passed the point of where...
I would say in your situation, damn it, Maury, for somebody who has never said a swear word in front of your father, I think at this point now, it would be weird. Oh,
so I think it also depends on if you've, like, have you heard your parents swear?
Oh, hell yeah.
My dad whispers it when he needs to swear to me.
Like in your ear?
No, like he'll say it really low, like it's like something crazy.
How savage would that be, though, if he went all the way up to Maury's ear just to whisper?
I think if you started swearing with the same level or the same way that your dad swears, I think he would accept it more than if you were just, why to just drop an F-bomb in a sentence.
Okay. Why don't you just, like, start whisper swearing into Frank's ear?
Well, he says it as though it's something racist. Like, if, you know, in front of the whole, like, we're outside barbecuing, he'll just whisper going, oh, my God.
Because is that what he does when he says something racist?
No, I just mean, like, if you were going to racist with somebody, that you would whisper
Did
it.
You just use racist as a verb? If you're going to racist with somebody?
Let's just put this out there because I know a lot of the guys that Frank works with listens to the show. Frank is not a racist, okay?
No, I'm just saying, like, if you were going to, you would whisper. You mean swearing as though it could be something that is horribly wrong.
Right. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to set you up with a list of words, Maury, and I would like you to record this and go and sit in front of your father, Frank. And I would like you to just go through this list of words and look at him in the eye when you say them.
Oh, no.
What are you trying to do to my family?
Okay. Will you do that?
He's an older man. You might kill him.
Will you do that?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Real quick, guys. The alternative swear words, I've started using a lot of those. The worst that ever came out of my mouth, my niece was at my house, and I didn't know she was in the room with me. And I think I hit my thumb with a hammer and I said slippery nipples. Wow. She was like, what?
Maury, get my note, because when you sit down with your father, you're going to start with slippery nipple. and that one, you will whisper.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So the question was, do you swear in front of your parents? Damn it, Maury had said with his dad, Frank, they've had a great relationship their whole lives, but Maury has never used any swears in front of his dad. And Maury's almost 40 years old. And you've never even really heard, like, your dad swears around you very minimal, right? Like a tiny whispers if he does.
He whispers. That's so weird.
And so
The challenge was to have Dammit Maury go and sit with his dad, Frank, knee to knee. And between them, they would have a fishbowl of the worst of the worst words in front of them. And they would have to spend the evening just pulling in and pulling out a word and reading it to each other while staring at each other in the eyes so they could see each other swear for the first time.
And this is how things started.
Okay. So why do we need to do this in the basement?
This is a place where we could be quiet and alone.
We have to be knee to knee. That we need to get these words off our chest, right?
Awkward.
I assure you, it's awkward too, but let's just do this. Because you've never heard, don't you want to hear me swear?
I never thought of it, but I guess this moment had to come sooner or later one of these days.
We're not going
to
live forever. We're not going to live forever, so I kind of want to, you know, we should hear each other swear before we die. Is this not your dying wish? All right, so I have a cup of words.
Oh, no.
We're going to pick a word, and then we both have to say the word.
Oh. Yeah, let's go for the deep end here, right? Yeah.
Okay, you go first. You break the ice.
Oh,
okay. Okay, now.
Dammit Maury and his dad, Frank, sit in the basement knee to knee.
Swearing. And by the way, if you don't swear in front of your parents, feel free to do this and send us a video of it, please. But, okay, go ahead.
Okay. What is this?
Okay. I don't even know what that means.
Well, you cut yourself. Okay, well, that's...
Okay,
that's a lead up.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So I'll go next. And then you have to repeat after me.
Woman's things.
You're just... Say the word.
Female parts.
Say it. Okay. Your turn.
All right. So when you're really upset with somebody, you might want to call them an
Okay. Okay. My turn.
No.
What is going through your mind right now?
Like I'm being punished or something or another. Like, what did I do to deserve this?
Okay. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. Your turn. This is your dying wish.
It's not.
Wait, no, it's your turn.
Oh,
why are you whispering everyone like you do? You always whisper swear words.
Well, because that's just what I gotta do as a parent.
Say the word. Okay. Oh, wait, I have to say it. Okay. My turn. Okay.
Oh, come on, this is enough.
Just say the word. Oh. I said it.
Good for you. Oh, God.
Okay, your turn.
Oh, God. Why?
No, I think it's ought. I think it's ought. Yeah. My turn.
No, don't say it. No. Come on. Really?
Okay.
Oh.
Here we go.
Okay, well, where do you go with that?
You just say it.
Oh my God.
Your turn.
All right, mother.
Last one. Here we go. What? Just say the damn thing. I'll never do that in front of you again.
Well, good, good, because I wouldn't want to invite to hear that all over again. Or any other.
Are you glad we got it off our chests?
I'm glad we got it off of your chest, my chest, so a couple of chests. We got them off of our chests.
Okay.
Lisa has something to say. What's up?
I just wanted to say that the item you just played with Maury and his dad was hilarious.
Yeah.
I didn't start swearing until after I was married, I think, before it was in front of my parents.
Really?
Yes.
Why? Jeez. Just out of fear of what they may think? Or was there a conversation that happened in the house where there was a rule that no one was to swear?
No, because I can remember my mom swearing a little bit when we were kids, and my grandmother swore like a trooper. She was the first adult I ever heard use the F word.
Wow.
But my dad was a teacher, so I think he just thought it was you shouldn't swear in front of the kids, and that probably extended to being swearing at home.
Yeah.
But after you grow up, I think, you know, all hell broke loose.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the idea of swearing, because I don't remember when I didn't swear. Like, it's just crazy. Like, it's just always been a part of my life, especially in front of my mom. But it's crazy when you meet people who still don't swear in front of their parents. And like Maury, like, that was the first time, Maury, you had ever said any of those words in front of your dad.
And it only took two ciders to do it.
Right. Oh, so you had to get a little drunk to do this.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I've never been more nervous to do anything ever.
You left that part out of the story.
So you had to get a little, you sounded a little drunk.
I was just like, yeah, we need a moment. I need to finish this cider before we go down to the basement.
Wait, did your stepmom or your brothers not ask like why you and your dad were secretly going into the basement to hang out for a bit?
And my dad was like, oh, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Also, can I tell you the best part? Maury had all those words that were written down on pieces of paper. And when they finished it, Maury's dad was like, and you take those words and you take them out of this house.
And they're here with me.
Now.
Yeah, he made Maury leave the house with those words. Don't even put them in my recycling bin in this house. take those words out of this house. It was so great.
I just want to thank you every morning for making my drive into the city awesome.
No,
I am in hysterics almost every morning. There was a couple days last week where I actually had tears pouring down my face. Aww. I can't even remember what it was. But, love the show. No. You make it worthwhile.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I gotta say Roz.
Okay, bye, Lisa. Thanks for the call.
You're later.
All right, see ya.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hey, one of the great things about flying with Air Transat is that you can get some pretty amazing food on some of their flights, simply because they've partnered with renowned Quebec chef Daniel Vezina.
Yeah, when you're on a flight, you don't necessarily think that you're going to sit down to a four-course meal. But that's exactly what happens when you're up in club class with Air Transat. Plus, if you're flying economy, there's still some meals available. And we're talking gourmet wine. Starts with a cheese plate, and the food is fantastic.
And of course, a limited number of meals are available for purchase. You need to pre-order those at least 48 hours before your flight. Not a big deal. See all the tasty dishes and reserve your gourmet meal at airtransat.com.
You know what is a big deal? Is when you're on a flight, one of the greatest feelings you'll ever have in life is when you're actually just sitting on an airplane and you take a napkin and put it on your lap, like you do in a restaurant.
It's a real napkin, too.
Right?
And like a restaurant napkin.
And it's a real napkin. That is one of the greatest feelings in life, because it's not supposed to be that way, but it is. And the food on Air Transat Club Class is phenomenal.
There you go. Get the details on the food and your fancy napkin at airtransat.com.
All right, let's take a phone call.
Hi, Kiss 92.5, Roz and Mocha.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a sandwich I would like Maury to try when he gets a chance.
Okay, so hold on here. We have a long history of this show of Maury wanting to try some of the most bizarre food combinations that people have actually seen another human eat. And
yes.
So is this a conventional, is it a cultural thing, or is it just something weird that you made up?
It's something my family made up, and it goes back to when my mom was a child.
Okay. How old's your mom?
My mom is mid-50s.
Mid-50s. Okay, cool. So what is that sandwich?
So it's a bun.
A bun.
And you put a bun and cheese whiz, liverwurst pate, and dill pickles sliced up in it.
Wow.
That sounds disgusting.
Maury, come on in here.
That's gross. That is, your family's disgusting, lady.
Okay.
That's gross. Have you ever had it?
We eat it. All us girls eat it.
Describe the process here. So when you take a bite of that, what hits the tongue first? Like, how does that all work out?
I think the thing that shocks you the most is the liverwurst pate mixed with the dill pickle.
And that's delicious?
It is to me.
Okay.
See, I enjoy all those things separately.
Right.
I really like liver pate.
Okay. Cheese whiz, ain't nothing wrong with cheese whiz.
You could eat that with the spoon.
And pickles, you're okay with.
Pickles, I'm Jewish.
And who doesn't love a bun?
I know, I don't know. I Can I just say right now, yeah, I would highly advise against that.
I'm with you on this, Mocha. Now, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that all those things on their own sort of are, they're fine. But when you start dealing with those color combinations, I worry what Cheese Whiz and pate would look like when it starts to mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks a little chunky.
It looks, yeah, I don't know if those two things belong together. Maury, would you want to try this?
If we advised against all challenges in life, there'd be no challenges in
life. Okay. Well, okay. So Maury's going to go to the kitchen, see what we have. And if you can get a bun.
That's the one thing you want to know if the man can get.
Where am I going to get? My biggest concern is liverwurst pate.
Well, I know we already have Cheese Whiz and pickles here. I don't know. Okay, yeah. So
give us a couple minutes.
Let's a couple minutes and we'll be fine.
We have to go to the store across the street or something.
Okay.
All right. What's your name?
Lisa.
Appreciate the call. Thank you for the suggestion.
Wait, I have one last question. Yeah. What is this called?
Yeah, does it have a name?
What's it called?
No, we don't have a name for it. We just know that none of the men in the family bloodline eat it, just the women.
Oh, this is just the ladies eat this?
Yeah.
The men don't?
Oh, my God. Maury be the first guy.
Is there a chance that Maury may be the first man to ever eat this?
He'd be the first one to like it if he does. All the other men will take a bite and not.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, then I should get to name it.
Yeah. What's your ma's name?
My mom's name is Debbie.
Okay. That's what it's called.
The Debbie.
Yep.
All right, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Smells in here.
It sure does. It is a bun with Cheese Whiz, pate, and pickles.
Can I just say that this liverwurst pate in its sack looks so gross?
Oh, so you got the tubi pate.
Oh,
like
no.
It's in that sort of that sack thing.
And then so when you slice that open, it's all just going to come squishing out.
That's what she said.
Like when they do surgery.
So we will add this. Okay.
It looks like you're slicing the casing of a sausage.
And actually,
open.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, help me.
Okay, what I had said, my concern with this was that, you know, pate on its own, whatever, people are sort of fine with it. Pickles, fine with it. A bun, no problem. Cheese Whiz, no problem. My concern is the aesthetics of it, because I'm worried that once you start mixing Cheese Whiz with pate, that visually it is going to look so vile that it may affect your, like, psychologically you may not be able to eat
this.
Well,
psychologically, the pate reminds me of funeral food because it's what's on the platters.
Oh, right.
Ew.
Okay.
So this tastes like, smells
it
like
tastes
funeral.
Like a funeral. Don't eat anything. Maury, no. Cheese Whiz first.
Oh, Cheese Whiz first?
Yes.
What does the pate smell like?
Funeral.
Yeah. Funerals.
Let me see. Let me smell.
Yeah, give that a smell, Mocha. Do you like pate? I don't even know if you ever had pate.
You know what pate is, right? Spreadable meat?
Yeah. If I had to take a guess. Okay. Okay. Not too much, though. Okay, yeah. So Maury right now is going Cheese Whiz on one side of the bun.
Bottom
side of the bun. Okay. And then, do pate now on the top side.
Pate on the top.
Pate on the top.
Oh my God.
Around.
I can't believe
around.
This.
Oh, it really smells like.
Okay. Yeah, that pate is thick, huh?
Oh.
Okay, now fire some pickles right in the middle there.
Okay. And I got the sandwich pickles,
cut
up.
No, good for you. See, here's my thing with pickle and why I don't think that pickles should automatically come on anything like a burger. If I go to a burger place and they automatically put pickles on it, I send it back. Because the pickle is so overpowering that even if you don't like pickles and you pull a pickle off, everything still tastes like pickle.
Yeah.
Okay, Maury, so close
it
up.
Do we have enough of everything? Are you satisfied?
I'm satisfied if you're satisfied.
Well, I just don't know if you think it needs more meat.
No. I think you're good. Okay, so close that up right there.
And it's in a Kaiser.
Okay, it's in a Kaiser. So down the hatch, this is the Debbie named after Lisa's mom. Go
First
ahead.
First off, the smell.
Yeah.
It smells like cheesy meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
You shouldn't know what that smells like. How is that?
It starts off fabulous, but then the meat comes into effect and ruins the whole awesome flavor you're eating. Because the cheese and pickle, that's okay.
Yeah.
Then the meat introduces itself to you, and then you're like, we're done.
Right. Hey, I'm meat.
You know what the problem is? It's not the meat and the cheese. It's the meat and the pickle juice.
Really?
That's where we have a problem. Meat with pickle juice. Again. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hi, it's meat.
Right. Hi, meat again.
And then it's just like, do you know what wet meat tastes like?
Give me a circumstance, Maury. Give us right now that we would know. Give me a situation of where we would have had either to be forced to eat or just choose to enjoy wet meat.
like if I'm eating a sandwich outside in the rain?
Like,
I was really going to say, when you're alone outside in the rain eating a sandwich.
No, that doesn't happen often.
So I have a question about the sandwich, the Debbie.
Do it again!
Which is Cheese Whiz and pickles. Ooh. And liver pate.
Yeah.
Liverwurst, yeah.
In, inside of a bun.
Yeah.
Is there an aftertaste?
Yes.
What's the aftertaste?
Meat.
Mocha.
Oh, really?
Would you like to try this, Mocha? Save a little. Let Mocha bite the back end. Yeah, you can. You can do this. You can do this. Yes, you can. 100%. You usually dip in and try the stuff that Maury's trying.
I know,
trying.
But this one, I don't know.
I think you can do this. I think you can do this. Just spit it out. Spit in the bag if you don't like it. Because your opinion, because sometimes Maury really does quite enjoy like gross food. Okay, just take a bite of the... Turn it around and take a bite of the back end.
Okay, so right off the bat, it really does just smell like pickles.
Okay.
That's all I smell right now.
Okay, so take a big bite of the back end right there. Okay, Mocha's in there. Oh, that's a good hearty bite. Good for you. What a champion.
Okay, so...
Yeah?
Did the meat introduce itself?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So at first I tasted...
I told you.
So at first I tasted some pickles and then some cheese whiz.
Yeah.
And by about the fourth bite, I tasted some meat.
Yeah.
And it's so bad.
It's so bad.
I can't.
You can't do it.
Oh, not in the see-through bag.
He just... Okay, so this is why the men in Lisa's family cannot eat this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Today's high five day.
Is it?
Yeah, we have not celebrated one of these stupid made-up internet holidays in a really, really long time.
Are you good at high-fiving?
Do you want to know the trick to a good high-five?
Stick out your hand.
Mocha and I talked about this years ago. Mm. When you stick out your hand, like... Like this? Like you're paying me money?
No, like hold it up and wait.
Put your arm up and wait. Okay. Let me see. Okay. I just can't today. Will you high five? Go over and high five Mocha, please, Maury.
Okay. Don't hurt me.
I want you to just judge because Mocha gives a very good high five.
Okay.
Okay. Nothing too aggressive.
Why are you backing away?
But just like, move in. Okay. Maury.
And did you ever do the one where
move it a little closer to the microphone.
Okay. Do you ever do the high five?
No, just do a regular high five.
Just do a regular high five. Stop modifying.
Okay, now this hand.
Why are you?
Because I do it.
So when Maury high fives, he doesn't actually throw his arm to high five.
No,
he waits for the fives.
Yes.
That's very weird.
You do.
Do you not know how?
Well, this is how I've done it.
Okay. So I'm just.
Because I'm used to doing it with my right hand.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So the hands are up. Maury's very hesitant right now.
Okay.
I don't.
Are you going?
You.
I'm doing exactly what
you
do.
Oh, yeah. So we're both waiting.
Because when I high five, I go. I.
Yeah. Maury, your arm does. You're a very passive high fiver.
Are both our hands supposed to go together?
I'm doing all the work.
Okay, hang on. So don't
be a lazy high fiver, Maury. Okay. Okay, so
I'm done.
Okay, hold on here. Let me teach you how to do the perfect high five. For anybody
who's
listening right now,
I think I might actually be ready to go home.
Okay, for anybody who's listening right now, Mocha, grab a seat, just chill for a minute. Calm down.
I don't know why. Boy's making me so angry right now.
I know a high five is supposed to be something.
You can't get angry over a high five. It's a positive thing.
I'm surprised by how much you don't know how to do a high five.
Okay, Maury, here. First of all,
would I high five?
Has anybody ever high fived you for anything?
Like I high five people sometimes here at work, but
no, it's sort of ironic though because you haven't done anything to deserve a high five. You just high five.
Whoa!
Ouch! That's a good one. Okay,
so here's the trick.
But here's the thing: when you walk by people in the hallway, all you do is hold your arm up. You don't actually move it forward to high five, and you wait for the other person to walk by, and their hand kind of just passes.
Yeah, like a walking by high five or sometimes a fist pump.
Okay, I'll tell you the rule, and it was taught to me years ago, and it improves your high five exponentially, which is the rule is this. When you high five somebody, if you put your arm up and I put my arm up, right? The trick is this. Normally, when you're high-fiving, Maury, also close your fingers a little bit more. Why are your fingers all spread? That's super weird.
Like he wants to secretly interlock hands.
No, it's like I'm getting him dressed and it's time to put on one of his gloves. Like he just put his arm up and just spread his fingers around, right? It's just so weird. Okay, don't bend your fingers back so much. Your hand looks like a little banana. okay, so the trick with a high five, as I promised, but I've not got to it yet, is when you're high-fiving somebody, don't look at the other person's hand for the perfect high five. The trick to the perfect high five is to look at the other person's elbow. That's how you nail the perfect high five, really? Believe it or not. Believe it or not, that's how you nail the perfect high five. So here, I'll put this here.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Now, Maury, when you high five... Why? His arm is shaking.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And it's white. It's like all the blood has run out of it already. You should be able to... You should be able to hold your arm up. Okay, you pins and needles. Maury, pins and needles. This is going to hurt like hell. Okay, so Maury, so when you high five, you actually have to move your arm forward, okay?
Yes.
And not just your hand. Like, move your whole arm forward, okay?
But I have to look at your elbow.
You hear the sound?
Yeah.
Right? Okay? That's how a high five sounds. Okay, so I'm gonna stop touching your hand right
but
now.
But why should a high five hurt?
What?
Why should a high five hurt?
Well, it shouldn't, Maury. Okay.
God, you're a 40-year-old man.
You know what I mean?
Like, I know, for real, grow up.
I learn about life through you.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go. Okay.
I was looking at your elbow.
Maury, no, Maury, but here's the thing. You're not actually, you just leaned your body. Move your arm, for God's sake.
Okay.
We're running out of time. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay,
no, you still leaned your body again.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, you know what, Maury's? Okay, we're going to stop right now. This is how Maury high fives. Imagine one arm up, but it's the Tin Man, and the arm is frozen in place, and he has to move the arm forward. Maury high fives by bending at the waist.
Yeah.
Like, his whole body moves forward.
Can I try your technique on Mocha quickly?
No.
You know why?
He's too frustrated.
I might actually punch you.
Okay, hold on here. Let's just, right, one more time, Maury. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Ready, go.
Okay. Oh my God.
You were the worst.
Oh my God. That was the worst.
Maury and I just high thumbed. literally, we high thumbed.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Hey, Kiss. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, you ever redo a high five because it wasn't that good?
It depends on who you. Yes, I have many times redone a high five, but it's with somebody that I'm very comfortable with.
Yeah. Where one of you will say, we sucked at that. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
Did you know that that's like a pure Canadian thing? No other culture really does that.
Does what? A high five? Or redo a high five?
To repeat a high five because the first one sucked.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've done this just because I get tortured by stuff where I will just obsess about it all day. Like, if I am walking through the halls and somebody looks at me and says, hey, how's it going? And I say, yeah, you too. I'm haunted by that all day long. So it's just like when I go to, like, I'll be getting on an airplane, right? And like the person who's at the ticket gate will be like, have a great flight. And I'll say, you too. And then the whole flight, I'm like, God, why did I say that? She's going home after her shift, right? Like, she's just working a job. But I've been in situations before with people that I don't even know.
Yeah.
Where I've been introduced to them and I've shaken their hand and it was a lousy handshake.
Yeah.
And once we let go, I've said, let's do that again.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, and I've done a better handshake. You know, because the worst handshake is if somebody grabs you too soon.
Yeah.
They just grab the tips,
yeah.
Right? And then they're shaking the tips. And then you have no choice but to turn your hand palm down and shake their hand like you're a princess. You know? Like, it's as if instead of saying, hey, Roz, nice to meet you, they just kind of like go, m'lady. And then, you know, I get stuck in the m'lady handshake and then I'll redo it.
You don't know whether to ask to redo it or to curtsy.
Yeah, right? Thank you.
Because you never want to shake just the tip.
No. And then they just sometimes grab the tip. And then I'm suddenly in the m'lady situation. And I feel that puts me in a very negative space leading off to any sort of relationship that I may have with this person. And I have fear that somebody will go away and go, God, did you see that Roz guy? Like, he's like super tall and everything else, but a really weak handshake. Like, somebody describing me as having a weak handshake is like, there are a million things you could say about me. That is right close to the top for me.
Wow.
Of like the thing that would drive me the most nuts if people started saying that I had a weak handshake. And I don't know why. I've always prided myself.
Then your manhood is in
yes, because I do. Yes,
right?
And I really do. And I know that the, you know, masculinity and everything else, but I really do associate manhood with the firmness of somebody's handshake when I meet them. And I will tell you, if I shake somebody's hand and they have a weak, like limp handshake, I judge them.
Really?
And I think less of them.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Immediately,
I think less of them.
Hey, what's your name?
Harmon.
Harmon, thanks so much for calling in today, brother.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
You too, man. Take care.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I don't know why I'm going to suggest this because I never win. But do you guys want to play mouse charades?
And now it's time for the game everybody loves to play.
It's like charades, but you make the noise of clues with your mouth. It's mouth charades. So get ready, get silly, and start to make those mouth charades.
Okay, so mouth charades, by the way, is just like charades, only you can only use your mouth. You can only make sounds. Dammit, Maury has a big pot of words in front of him. I will be going against Mocha in this. Maury, now remember, please sit on your hands because you tend to do pantomime a lot, which becomes regular charades, and it gives it away, and then Mocha winds up winning.
Do you want me to use my hands when it's for you?
What? No. Well, if you feel that you need to. Stop. You're such a jerk. You're such a jerk. Okay. So please, Mocha, you can be first. How much time is on the clock? 20 seconds?
Yeah.
All right.
So Mocha word?
Yeah. You're going to hear a ding, and then you got to give 20 seconds of silence, and then you're going to hear the buzz to end it.
Ay. Okay, Mocha, you're up first. Dammit, Maury, anytime, and the clock starts now.
Oh, a baby sucking on a bottle, kissing your teeth, sucking on a lollipop, sucking on, it's sucking something? Mm. Oh, what Ooh. The?
Wait, you're... Just listen, let me listen to this for a sec.
Keep going?
Yeah, just keep going for 1 second. Yeah, just for me.
I don't know what that is, bro.
I don't know what that is.
What is it?
A French kiss.
Yeah. There was no tongue.
That was a French kiss?
I had to make the tongue sound.
French kissing is with your tongue. I saw no tongue.
Yeah, but I need another tongue.
Why
to
am
make
I upset?
The
it wasn't even my word.
That ain't French kissing, man. Yeah. Come on.
You need two tongues, so I had to make the sound of two tongues.
Okay. Now I'm up. Again, it's mouth charades. Please, Maury, don't use any hand gestures or motions, okay? All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, 20 seconds on the clock, and... That is, Oh. Is that somebody's last breath? a dying breath. Okay, come on, man. Like, that's a real cruel clue if that's what that is. Was it a dying man's last breath?
Biting into an apple.
Oh.
Okay, next word.
Mocha, you're up. 20 seconds on the clock.
Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, punching somebody in the face? Water. A water slide. Waves. The ocean. A boat crashing water against a boat? The wind.
Oh, what is this? Oh.
What is geez. That?
Belly flop.
Oh, wow.
Belly flop? Oh,
wow.
Man,
you were real jiggly during that morning. Did a lot of bouncing up and down.
I was trying to remember the last time I did it.
Right. Normally I would have told you to stop moving around, but I was actually just captivated by it.
That's what she said.
Okay. So I'm up now.
Yeah.
Mouse charades. 20 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
And go. I can't hear you. That sounds like a leak in a waterbed. What is that part? What happened at that part? Why did that only happen at the end? It didn't make that sound at the beginning. Why only at the end?
Rain?
What was that last part?
I just changed up the kind of rain.
Do that last part again.
What's so quiet?
That's like rain on your window.
That is not rain. That's terrible.
Yeah, you're horrible. You're horrible at giving guesses, Maury.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, one more. Literally one more.
All right, Mocha, go.
Mocha turn.
Because there's no chance I can even win. Okay, 20 seconds on the clock, and...
What is that? Eating. You're whipping. A whip. Oh. A bull whip. Is that water? Waves? Eating.
Okay. What was that?
A can of beer opening.
Oh. What was the chewing part?
Yeah.
Drinking.
That's how you sound drinking? Yeah. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. That's what drinking sounds like? You have me going nuts, man. You have me going nuts.
All right. I guess that's how you play mouth charades.
You want one more?
Nope.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you see the story about a woman that went on a date with a guy and she didn't text him back? And so he sent her a bill for the date.
Wait, didn't this happen once before?
I think it's happened before. Yeah. So listen, so this is down in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And if you've had something like this or you've wanted to do something like this, feel free to give us a call. So they went out and had a couple of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
She had a Moscow Mule.
God, he kept the receipt.
And a beer.
Yeah.
And then smoked hickory barbecue pulled pork tacos.
Yeah.
And then on the bill, he added a processing fee.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And it was $38.52 is what he sent her a bill for. Because they went out.
Yeah.
He texted her afterwards.
Yeah.
And she didn't write him and she didn't text him back.
Because she wasn't into you.
Yeah. So Amanda thought that it was ridiculous. And she tweeted a picture of the invoice, which of course started going viral. And the next day, the guy texted her to follow up and said that he sent a collection agency for the money if she didn't pay.
Oh, F off, dude.
Why not? Why?
That's stupid. Listen, man.
Why?
So what? She's not into you, bro. Like, let it go. It's less than $40. Who cares?
I'd still,
now you're just doing this to be a douche.
I understand the prince. I understand both sides of this. I really do. Going out on a date is a gamble, right? You're gambling.
Of course it is.
You're gambling. You're investing money, hoping that you win.
You know that going into the situation.
100%. I understand that. Going out on a date is a gamble, okay? You throw out a little bit of money, you see what comes back.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe she texts you back, whatever. I get that. Women don't have the same gamble that men do when it comes to the monetary aspects of dating in general.
Okay.
I would say more often than not, it's this sort of situation on a first date. They go to a bar, have a couple glasses of wine and some tacos. The guy's going to pick up the tab. Because in that situation, most guys I know or most guys I have met on a first date, if you're hoping that the investment pays off in some sort of way, you don't want to ask to split the check. That's a hard thing to ask on a first date if you want to go splitsies.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I get that.
When you were dating, did you go out on dates with people and stuff?
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Would you always pick up the check?
Yes.
I imagine you're a pick up the check guy.
100%.
You're
totally.
Yes. Okay.
Of course.
So when they don't text you back, which I don't know, did that ever happen? Probably not.
No.
Okay. Total stud. So if that ever happened, would you write the invoice to somebody and ask
because
for that money?
Because I know the risk going into the situation.
There is a risk. Now, What if you get the sense that the person you took out on a date really wasn't that into you from the get-go, but just sort of thought that maybe they could parlay this into some free tacos and a beer?
You know what? I would still pay.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want the situation to be awkward. I wouldn't want the night to be awkward.
Right.
Maybe you have a couple of laughs. Maybe you have some all right conversation. And then that's it. End of the night. You pay the bill.
And you
move on with your life. You don't text. You don't do anything. That's
right.
She's gone. He's gone. Finito.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
This guy's a... Man.
I don't know.
No,
I see it both ways,
so.
Though.
Absolutely
I
not.
Do.
No.
I sort of see
I'm
it
with
both
her.
Ways.
I'm on her side. No way.
But why?
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
No, listen.
I don't know.
You and I don't text you back, take the hint.
No.
Buster.
I know, but can I just say, this is where it gets ugly for me. This is where it gets ugly for me. She most likely made the decision. By the way, what this is a girl went out on a date with a guy. She didn't text him back, and so he sent her a bill for their date, for her portion of the date. This is where it gets ugly to me and why I sort of agree with the dude. She most likely made the decision during the date.
Sure.
That she didn't want anything to do with this
guy. But she didn't want to be rude and walk out.
No. But she made the decision during the date that she wasn't going to text or call this guy back.
Yes.
And when the bill came, she didn't offer to pay half.
Even still.
No. No.
I'm with her.
Nuh-uh.
I'm on her side.
No way.
Absolutely.
No way. If you make the decision during the date.
Yeah.
That you want nothing to do with this person.
Okay. What if this happened then? What if during that time she said, you know what? I'm not into this guy. Yeah. I am still going to offer. Right?
Yeah.
And she pays half.
Yeah.
And he texts her. She doesn't text him back.
Yeah. Then it's fine.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Totally fine.
I don't know.
I'm sort of with the dude on this one.
No, absolutely
not. Not that I would ever do it, but I get it.
No,
totally get it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely
right.
not. Move on.
Sure.
Go find some next gal on on Tinder. Before we take this call, Bernita tweeted at Kiss925. What about her cost? Hair, nails, clothes. Does she get the bill and give it to him?
Oh, snap.
Bitch, please. Next. You know what? Bernita, I agree. If this girl wanted to be petty, go send him a bill for everything that you had to do to get ready for the date. What do you want to say, Will?
Listen, I have a coworker that went on a date with a girl that was so obnoxious. I don't support this, but he did this. He waited till 3/4 of the meal that he had was done.
Yeah.
He got up and said he was going to the bathroom. He went, paid for his meal, and left her. He's the one that drove her there.
Oh, no! Savagery. Savagery. That's terrible, okay. Man. That's just like straight up wrong,
wow.
Dude.
Okay, first of all.
That is wrong. I don't condone that behavior whatsoever. That is wrong.
You, God.
And not bring her home, but she was that bad. I'm like,
okay.
Who told her the news?
What kind of animals do you work with,
I don't
bro?
Know, man. I sort of respect that, but I just
no,
don't. I don't
can't
at the same
say
time.
That, Ross.
No, I don't. Listen, I don't respect that. And the thing I respect the guy, but I respect the sort of process. Dating is a game, okay? Like, dating is a game. And when you can see a win, I've thought in the past when I was dating that there was a win there that I could take on a bad date. I never took the win. But oftentimes when you see an opportunity to take the win, whether you are a man or a woman, you take it. You know, this woman was on this date and saw an opportunity to take the win, which was she didn't have want nothing to do with this guy, but she could have a couple tacos and a couple beer and never talk to him again. She took the win.
Yeah, for 40
okay?
bucks. Like,
yeah,
who
doesn't
cares?
Matter. Yeah.
I don't okay. know. What's your name on the phone?
Women are winning more. That's why a lot of women are out here for free meals.
Oh,
that's
shut up.
Oh, do you condone that behavior? That statement yeah. there, Roz?
They used to, you know what? They used to call me soup kitchen because so many women would get a free meal off me.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. You're not winning in life.
Yo, thanks for the call.
All right.
Hey, Kiss, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up? Who's this?
My name's Anissa, and I just wanted to weigh in on my experience once with a date.
Yeah.
Where I genuinely forgot my wallet. As a woman, I changed my purses, forgot to put my wallet in my purse.
Fair enough.
So I told him on the way there, oh my God, I forgot my wallet. And he's like, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. I was like, no, like I feel so shitty. I can't believe I forgot it.
Yeah.
We went out, had 2 drinks, split some wings, had a great time, attracted to him, personality, attractiveness, everything was fine. So the next day, to be polite, I texted him and said, hey, what's your email address so I can e-transfer you for half the date? He actually sent me his email address.
Oh, wow.
To send him
really?
The money for the date.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what? You were like, no, I was just doing that to be polite. And you actually.
I sent him the money. I sent it. I was shocked because
but did you,
I can't believe. Sorry?
Did you go out with him again?
He actually followed up with me afterward, but I was turned off after that point.
Right. Okay.
Oh,
so
no.
So it is a turnoff to be asked to pay for half a date, even in 2018.
Absolutely. If it's the first date, especially, and you asked me out,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fair
so
enough.
That was shocking. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm the one that offered, but the fact that you actually sent me your email address after the fact, and then you still followed up with me a few months later, several times, to go out again.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he was, like, almost intimidated at that point, where he was like, if I say, don't worry about it, I got it, I don't want her to turn around and be like, oh, what? You don't think that a woman like me could pay for my own meal?
Yeah, it's tough.
Right?
It's
maybe
tough.
Like, I don't know if he was like scared or something.
Yeah, like at that point, you've already written him and saying, you know, hey, what's your email address? Like, I wouldn't know what the hell to do at that point.
Yeah. Like, maybe he's thinking, like, listen, it's 2018. Fair is fair.
Yeah. Like, are you going to, like, you don't know. Like, are you going to respect him more for doing it? You don't know. You don't know. It's such a mystery, this world and men just dealing with women on this level and women dealing with men. It's like, there's
you don't want to say
everywhere.
Even if he had said, it's okay, get the next one, that would have been better.
It would have been better.
If you were so nervous.
Yeah. So how much did you send him?
I think it was honestly less than 30 bucks or about 30 bucks.
Oh, no.
Crazy.
Yeah. And it ruined everything.
It did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Turn off.
Interesting, man.
Anissa, thanks so much for calling in today.
Thanks for taking the call.
All
bye.
Right.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha
Show podcast. How many people you kissed?
What?
How many people have you kissed?
Like in life?
Yeah, because I'll tell you,
God,
they say that
know,
they figured out roughly.
Not romantic. Are we talking romantically or just like in general?
Well.
Cheek kiss, lip kiss?
No, like people you've been into that you've kissed. before you find the one. So let's say Jenna is the one for
well,
you.
She is, yes.
Yes. Let's not say, let's say, let's confirm. That's what I wanted to say. Let's confirm Jenna's the one for you. So
five.
Before Jenna, how many?
Five.
Five?
Yeah, five.
Your whole life.
No, six. Am I including the girl that I kissed in, no, seven. It would be seven.
Seven?
Yeah. Junior kindergarten, kindergarten. Junior kindergarten.
Wow.
Was my very first kiss with this Polish girl.
They say that the average woman will kiss 22 people before they find the one. The average man will kiss 25 women.
Below. So before I'm way
they,
below
before
average.
They find the
What's
one.
What's your number at? You know? Like in the hundreds?
I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Like in the hundreds?
Probably.
One, two, three, four, five.
And we can include a random makeout at a club in this.
Six.
Somebody that you really didn't have that much interest in, but maybe they just happened to be there and you were both just on the same page at the time.
Yeah, like
we can include that.
All right.
So maybe seven.
Still, yeah.
Wow. It's a low number.
Very.
Wow. I applaud you on that.
Listen, man, I don't be throwing around my kisses just like that. Okay.
Yeah. You're very protective of your kisses.
Of course.
That's,
of course.
Wow. See, I was very cavalier with my kisses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like Oprah. You get a kiss.
Yeah.
You get a kiss.
Oh,
you
yeah.
get a kiss.
I have no problem. Maury, is that accurate?
I say one.
One.
Like I say there was one more.
Right.
Other person. That's what I say.
But what's the truth?
But what's the truth?
The truth is several.
But what is several? Like they say that the average man will kiss 25 people before they find quote unquote their one. So let's assume Matthew is the one, and then let's go back from
there.
I
say seven.
Seven. Wow, you and Mocha at seven.
Wait, it wasn't the same person.
Hold on a second here. Wait a minute. Are you one of his seven? And are you one of his seven?
We don't kiss and tell.
Because that would be an incredible way to find this out right now. If you change your six to a seven because you just remembered, and if you change your six to a seven because you just remembered.
Mocha, well, hold on.
That one night?
You kissed me at your wedding.
That
not
doesn't
romantically.
Count,
I kissed Roz at my wedding.
Yeah, yeah. That's not that doesn't count. Yeah. So they say the number for women, 22 people before they find the one. The number for men, they say 25 people before they find the one. Mocha's number seven. Maury's number is seven. I'm
counting the wedding kiss.
I don't know.
Connect the dots, connect y'all.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
One of the big stories around the royal wedding is Meghan Markle's extended family and how many of them are not invited to the wedding and how many of them are super pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Dooley is, I guess, a cousin or a nephew, something like that, of Meghan Markle. We'll get him to explain this. And he also runs a very successful weed business. And
yes.
And in honor of his now world famous superstar aunt or cousin or whatever Meghan is, he's decided to name a strain of marijuana after her.
Yo, Tyler, what's up, man? Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Hey, good morning, Roz and Mocha. How you guys doing?
Doing great. How's the weed business, bro?
Man, it's... yeah, we're killing it.
Yeah, thriving out there, huh?
So what is your relationship in the family with Meghan Markle?
So Meghan's actually my aunt.
She's your aunt?
Yeah, she's my aunt.
In what way? Explain how she winds up your aunt. Who was married to whom, and
right.
How does that work?
Yeah, so my dad is her sister, and her dad is my grandpa. So essentially, I mean, and we were all raised in the same house together, and there's so much background story we can't even get into it today.
Okay, so did you know Meghan growing up? Do you still know Meghan?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean we talked just recently, just a few years ago, and you know, obviously what's going on with some members of my family, as you could probably see in the media, I don't blame her for kind of being distant and private, and really she just wants some she wants privacy now.
Right.
Do you have access to get in touch with her right now if you wanted to? Like, can you like hit her up and just like send her a quick text message? Just be like, hey, congrats on the upcoming wedding. You know, it's about a month away.
No, I mean, I could talk to her through my grandpa, and that's kind of how I have been speaking to her through that channel.
Oh, okay.
I think everything has to go through the palace, and that's my experience so far.
And not invited to the wedding, right?
No. So, yeah, and I really don't blame that at all. That would be a total fiasco. I totally agree with her decision just to have, you know, my grandfather and her mom there to accompany her. Anybody else, I think, would be it'd be a lot of drama.
There seems to be a lot of family that was left off the invite list.
Yeah, have you talked to any?
Because there's some people in your family that are pissed.
Have you talked to anyone?
Oh my
Tyler?
God.
Like any no. other aunts, uncles, cousins, whoever that that have not been invited?
Yes, that's a good question. So I talked to my aunt Samantha, which I'm sure you guys have seen. I talk to her on a regular basis, probably every other day. And I speak to my grandpa quite frequently. Some people are mad. I can't understand why. I mean, it's going to be a very private event. And just to avoid, you know, again, it goes back to the drama and it goes back to the BS that's been happening. It's not worth it at all.
So at what point did you decide to honor Meghan Markle with her own strain of marijuana called, what's it called again?
I don't even know how they came up with that. Markle Sparkle.
Markle's Sparkle.
Yeah, okay. Be honest, were you high when you came up with that name?
You know, that's just crazy. I have no idea how that came about. And I'll be honest with you. You can't trademark a name if it's not federally legal, right?
Right.
There's just no way. Now I'm sure it's going to be everywhere.
What makes Markle Sparkle so great?
Markle Sparkle is just, you know, there's plenty of things about Markle Sparkle that are great.
Does it, like, what kind of buzz is it?
Like, does the buzz last longer? Do you recover from it quicker?
No. Does it make you feel like a prince?
Or a princess?
Prince. Yeah, I mean, no, really, there's no strain Markle Sparkle. Everything these days, honestly, it's just, they just do crossbreeding, and you know, eventually, I guarantee it. There's going to be a strain called Markle Sparkle now after all this.
What about the Queen's Corgi? Is that another line of marijuana that you would consider doing?
The Queen's
Corgi. This is fantastic. And are you a successful weed seller? I guess, is this working out for you?
Yeah, I've been in the industry since I was 18. It's been very good. It's a multi-million-dollar business. And the actual market, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar market.
Yeah.
And we're just at the tip of the iceberg right now. So
killer, man. So are you gonna watch the wedding in a couple weeks on TV like everybody else?
So we're actually going over there.
Oh
wow, nice.
To London. Yeah, and we're gonna be, my family and I, we're gonna be correspondents, at least my mom and my brother. So that should be pretty fun.
You're not you're not going over there to protest.
No.
Oh, okay. Not. Just okay. I don't know.
How dare that prince marry my aunt?
All right, dude. So it's Markle Sparkle, and we wish you all the best with this. It's a fantastic name. Hope it's very successful for you.
Tyler Dooley, thanks very much for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show today.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You ever dated somebody older?
Never.
Never.
You?
Yeah. Most of my life, I did.
Oh, didn't you tell a story once when you were in like 8th grade or 7th grade?
Oh, yeah. I had
dated somebody in university?
Oh, jeez.
No, she wasn't in university. She was in high school, right?
I led a life of lies when I was younger and always lied about how old I was because I could. I was just much bigger. And yeah, I was just tall. So no, I was
older.
I was in grade 8 and I think that she was 19 turning 20.
Grade 8? What are you, 12?
Yeah, around there, but I lied. My whole family was in on the lie. She'd come over to the house and my brother would pretend that I was his older brother and that he was my younger brother. Like, no joke. My whole family was in
on the
lie.
They were okay with it?
They were more than okay with it, Maury. They were very supportive of it.
Oh my God.
They were terrified that I was going to run away with her. So they had no choice but to be supportive. I've always been fascinated with the sort of age gap, and because there's an age gap that people are okay with, right?
Yeah.
And then there's age gaps that people have a hard time with, and people have a hard time when the age gap skews young. So somebody is like, you know, 17, 18, 19 kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then that person is, the other person is like
12, close to 30 or
30
whatever.
Or whatever it is.
Sure.
Let me play you this. This is a 19-year-old named Gary Hadwick and his new wife named Almeida, who is... Almeida, who is 72 years old, 19, what? 19 and 72. They met at Chuck E. Cheese.
What? Excuse me? What?
We met at Chuck E. Cheese Pizza. There was a birthday party there. I looked into his eyes and I just fell in love with those brown eyes. I love his hair. I just looked at him and knew that he was the one I wanted to best spend my life with.
The first thing that attracted me to Almeida was her beautiful, gorgeous blue eyes, her personality, always full of laughter, and we just connected so well. And everything, we just, chemistry was great. We had the same interests, you know, interested in music. Everything about her just captures my heart since day one. The first time we made love was on our wed night. It was an amazing experience.
Okay.
And there was just such a deep connection there. Very, very deep connection between both of us.
So again, that is 19-year-old Gary. Oh, this gets so much better.
That's what he sounded when she was talking just now. She sounded like she didn't have her teeth in.
Yeah, okay. That was 19-year-old Gary and 72-year-old Almeida. Now, they are married currently, but they met 2 years ago. So they met when she was 17 and he was, when he was 17 and she was 70. Now, they met at Chuck E. Cheese. We know that. But what was left out of that story was when they met, Gary was on the rebound from a relationship that he was in previously with another woman that didn't end well. That woman was 77.
What is it? Gary, what you doing?
So Gary was about 16, 17, dating a 77-year-old.
How is that even possible?
Now, like, I don't even know how you meet. I guess like if you volunteer at a home or something, maybe you have the option. Where does a 17-year-old meet?
It was like a friend's grandmother or something.
A friend's
like
grandma.
That, right?
Like they said, it was a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese where they met. So presumably she was like the great grandma that was there. And then in rolls 19-year-old Gary. I don't know why he would be hanging at Chuck E. Cheese. But anyway, so in rolls Gary. And then they met at Love at First Sight. Now, they don't say there's a lot of people in their family that are unsupportive. Most people are indifferent. But those that are unsupportive, what they said was it was actually her grandkids that were unsupported, seeing as how she has one grandson who is actually older than Gary, who is now his step-grandfather. So again, Almeida has a grandson who is older than his new step-grandfather, which is 19-year-old Gary.
That ain't right.
With a 53-year age gap.
That ain't right.
That ain't right?
No, that ain't right. That's weird, man. What you doing, Gary?
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Blood. Blood.
Yeah.
From that video on YouTube?
Blood.
No, I don't know that video
on
YouTube.
Remember?
No.
The little kid?
No.
You kept saying blood.
No, you watch a different YouTube than I do. I swear to God, you have different YouTube.
I think, like, the kid was saying... Oh,
I have never once just come across a video from World Star Hip Hop on my internet.
No. This isn't...
like, never once.
This is not from World Star. Hold on.
Daddy!
Because the kid...
Okay.
Is referencing, trying to bring attention to the fact that his little, either brother or sister, I think little brother, was bleeding in the mouth or something.
Oh, yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
It's blood.
Okay.
Daddy.
What, baby?
Blood.
What?
Blood.
What? What?
Baby did.
Baby's got what?
Blood.
What does he have?
Blood.
Where?
Blood. There. Blood.
You
don't
remember this?
Blood.
No.
Blood. Funny?
Oh. He's like, it's not funny.
Funny.
I'm
so worried.
Blood. Blood. Funny.
It's not funny, Dad.
Funny.
I know, it's so funny. Yeah, it's not funny. Not funny.
Blood.
Okay, have we figured out why the baby was bleeding, though?
That kid wasn't really bleeding.
Oh, okay.
I think the brother, the older brother, thought he was bleeding.
Oh.
Blood.
Because normally.
It's not funny!
Because normally it would be the older brother who probably socked the younger brother in the mouth.
Yeah,
and then
by
went,
accident.
And then went, the kid's bleeding. I don't, you might want to take care
no
of that.
Idea how that
I have
happened.
No idea how that happened at all.
I remember once I made my sister Laura's nose bleed because I body slammed her on the couch.
Yeah.
And her knee hit her nose. And my parents were home. And her nose started bleeding.
Yeah. And then you blame her. What'd you do?
No, then I ran upstairs and like just started shoving tissue up her nose to stop the bleeding.
And how old was she?
Oh, man.
Like,
I don't know. Like, I don't know, six?
Yeah. Okay. Right? Yeah. That's little.
And then I remember I heard the keys in the door. And I was like, oh, shoot, I am dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, Laura, anything you want, whatever you want, just don't say anything.
The negotiation have my back started.
Like, you want candy? I'll give you all the candy that you want. Every bit of candy that's in this house. Yeah. You want money? I'll give you money. Don't say anything to mom and dad.
Yeah.
And she never ratted me out.
She never ratted you out?
She never ratted me out.
Wow.
Yeah. Loyalty, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Loyalty. But as soon as I body slammed her and I looked up, I was like, oh my God. Blood!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I was going through my kid's spelling test with her the other day, and there's some hard words on that thing, man.
Like what?
Like
you remember anything?
Yeah, she's in grade two. She has to spell astrology and universe.
Excuse me?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, astronomy, not astrology. Not that kind of school. She had to spell astronomy.
In grade two.
In grade two. Astronomy, universe.
No, you're not supposed to get those words until like grade 10.
No more. You're not allowed to write anything down. Off the top of the dome, son.
I made effort and brought a pen in.
No. And I don't actually have the full list of words in front of me here. wow.
Gross.
Yeah, but universe was one of her words. Go ahead, Maury.
UNIVERSE.
Correct.
Wow.
You should feel very proud of yourself, Maury. It's a great
you've grade had, two. Okay, grade two. Two word. Yeah. Congrats.
Maury's posture just like fixed, like his shoulders went back.
Today I'm gonna have a great day.
I've never seen you more
astute.
What was the other word that she had? Astronomy.
Oh crap. Like pastrami.
Like pastrami.
Yep. Pastrami.
But only in space.
Astron.
I think you just me.
No.
Do you think the word strong is in astronomy?
Astronomy.
Astronomy.
No.
Now spell pastrami.
P-A-S-T.
When you're struggling with a word, okay, or you're struggling with how to spell a word, you can't just start combining letters hoping that one of them fits.
P-A-S-T. P-A-S-T-R-A-N-G. A-M-E. Pastrami.
Pastronomy.
Pastronomy. What's pastronomy the study of?
So I'll use it
like,
in a sentence?
Like cured meats, right?
Yeah,
like,
it has to be.
Pastronomy?
Has to be.
Like you're like really into them.
Yeah. Pastrominous.
A pastrominous. Okay, Maury. Astronomy one more time, please.
Astronomy. Strong, A-N, and strong.
And astronomy?
A-S-T.
Yes.
R-O-N-G-A-M-E.
No.
A-S-T.
Yes.
O.
No.
A-N, A-S-T. Where am I?
Okay.
A-S-T.
Yes.
A.
No.
Aster?
Asterongomy?
A.
Yes.
S-T. R. A.
No.
O.
No. Astromy. Est.
Come on, man.
A.
Yes.
S-T.
Maury, listen to me for one second. Astronomy.
Yeah.
Astronomy.
I meant the Romany.
Maury, your word is astronomy.
A. S. T. R. A.
No. No.
What else makes an A sound?
Astronomy.
From South Dakota? Try it one more time.
Okay. I'm
so frustrated. A-S-T-R.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. O-M-N-E-E. A-S-T-R.
O-M-N-E-E.
O-M-N-E-E.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, A-S-T-R.
Yes.
Okay. O?
I said that.
No, you didn't. N?
Mm-hmm. Strawn.
O?
O. N-G.
No. M-Y.
Exactly. Why?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This is Ron Zamoka.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you?
Good. I just want to say you're probably going to hang up on me because you're not going to want to hear this. But I've got three boys, and you guys are three guys. And when you ask the question, who is your favorite? And I get asked all the time, who's my favorite child? I can't say. On any given day, one of them might be better, might be my favorite son, but you can't ask someone who's your favorite. It's just not fair.
What is your name?
My name is Dana.
Okay, so Dana, for today, on the Roz and Mocha Show, between Roz and Mocha, for today, who is your favorite?
That's
you said it changes. You said it changes from day to day.
Are you going to ask me who's my favorite son?
No,
because I could.
I would never. I can't really say because you each bring something different to the show.
Okay, can you just pause for a second and go back to the beginning of this when you said it's like when somebody asks you who your favorite son is, and you said it changes from day to day. You're the one
so
that said
that. You want to know who today?
Yes. So today, who is your favorite, Roz or Mocha?
I don't know. That's not fair. You guys are both awesome. So I don't know. I listen.
Can I just point out the fact, Dana? You're the one that called us to talk about this. All right.
I have to say to you that when you ask, and then when you guys are on the radio, and some guy always says that he hates Maury, he's hated Maury since the beginning. They always play that. Yeah. I always want to say that.
No. We don't always play that. That is a guy by the name of Frank. That every single time he calls in without being prompted, he always tells us how much he hates Maury.
And I say I love Maury.
Okay, so Dana.
We all love Maury, but you have to understand that Maury is the one that puts calls through to us.
I know. He puts it through on purpose because he knew when I said I can't choose my favorite from the three of you. Right. He always puts it through.
Okay,
because he wants,
Dana, I know. Today, between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Okay. I'm going to say maybe Roz. I don't know.
Why are people so hesitant to say my name?
I'm not, and everyone, from lately, it seems like everyone likes Mocha better, Roz. Yeah, so you better get your game on.
I've been trying, man.
I know. I don't know why. I don't know if it's, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
You have three boys at home?
Yeah, I do.
And a husband?
Yes.
God, what does your house smell like?
Four boys.
Yeah, does your house reek all the time?
No, they're actually very clean, very shower, very clean.
But
patty.
They don't just like sit around throwing their farts at each other?
Fart bombs.
No, not really.
They're okay. They're teenagers, but they're okay.
Okay, cool. You're lucky then. You made it through those years, huh?
I made it. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Hey, Dana, thank you so much for calling in. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. Take care.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There's a guy by the name of David Mack who works for BuzzFeed, and he tweeted yesterday a story of how he was like this big loser in high school.
Right.
And he gave a couple of examples before asking people who follow him to also give their stories of being a quote unquote loser in high school.
Right.
So for example, David from BuzzFeed said this: how big a loser was I in high school? I didn't get chosen to be on the school newspaper committee, but I just turned up every week anyway. And eventually, after several months, the teacher felt sorry for me and put me on staff. Followed up with, in year 7, the science teacher fed a live mouse to his pet snake. The other boys thought it was very cool, but I burst into tears and ran away because my pet mouse had died recently.
Year 7? Yeah. Of high school?
It just says in year 7.
Oh, maybe like 7th grade.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. He also says, I also cried in year 7 English and ran away because everyone laughed at me when I gave a speech on Harry Potter and opened with something like, get ready to blast off on your broomsticks. Someone once pulled my chair out as I sat down and I had to go to the hospital.
Man.
And then he asked his followers for their stories on being a quote unquote loser in high school. One woman tweeted and said, my own mother sent me a rose on Valentine's Day because she thought I'd be the only kid without one. Another guy tweeted, while in military school, I was doing a crossword at my desk and got up to use the restroom. When I returned, somebody had written penis in all the boxes.
No.
A week before our final exams, a teacher came into the sports hall and caught seven of us recreating the royal wedding using a bedsheet as Kate's gown. We were all 18, and I went to an all-boys Catholic school. I have two more. In an attempt to pass straight, I tried to kiss a girl that I liked, but overplayed my enthusiasm. She told everyone I kissed like a vacuum cleaner. Mm-hmm. For the next 18 months, the classroom was decorated with cartoons and pages from various catalogs of vacuum cleaners. This one's actually pretty mean, but I'm going to read it anyway because it's in the thread.
Sure.
This guy who works for BuzzFeed tweeted out his story of how big of a loser he was in high school and asked his followers to also give their stories. And this girl tweeted a reply. I thought I had a homecoming date in sophomore year until I found out the boy was in a competition to bring the ugliest girl to the dance.
People do that in real life?
Isn't that straight up mean?
That's like a movie plot.
That is straight up mean. Dan Moore's sitting here bouncing on this chair like he's got something to say.
I have many examples of how I was a loser in high school.
But wasn't that, was it not Pretty in Pink? Was that the plot of Pretty in Pink or one of those stupid movies?
Wasn't that the plot?
Where, like, where they got to bring the ugly girl to the dance?
Wasn't that The Duff, too?
Maybe The
was
Duff.
The Duff?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
The Duff is great.
The Duff with Robbie Amell?
Yeah. So I think, before we get to more, I think that there are moments where everybody has felt like a loser, whether you were made to feel it deliberately or
not.
If
you,
it was,
though.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't so much people mistreating me as it was just such incredible, like, just self-doubt and confidence issues.
Yeah.
Which is what I had. Like, yeah. I was desperately terrified of any sort of conflict, and I was horribly just inflicted with this debilitating fear of failure in all aspects, but not in life, like not in studies. Like, I was far from a straight A student.
Yeah,
but I was just so, I had so much self doubt. So high school for you.
I used to have lunch with the caretakers.
That's right. You used to eat lunch with the janitor because nobody would eat lunch with you.
And I would just go to the the computer club just so I could sort of hang out and play computer games and whatnot.
Right.
And I remember when I went to overnight camp, my legal guardian, Susie, asked all of the girls to send me kissograms just so that I wouldn't have none.
Oh, did they send them to you, though?
Yeah, and I still have them.
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah, I still have all the kissograms from back then.
But at what point did you find out that your legal guardian, Susie, asked people to send you kissograms?
The next day on the bus when somebody told me.
They told you. And how did that make you feel?
Dina told me. And
Did you care or no?
I was too young to understand. I was like, hey, that's cool. I got a kissogram from you.
Right. Right.
I still have those kissograms.
Do you?
Oh, man.
No. Did you feel like a loser, Mocha?
I'm sure I did. I'm trying to think of, like, specifics, but can't think of any right now.
Like, so you didn't have any sort of, like, moment where that you were still, like, as an adult recovering from?
No.
Can I add in one more?
Yeah.
Sure. My dad invited.
Oh, sure. This is like a therapy session. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Let me turn the music down.
Hold on. I almost forgot this one. At my bar mitzvah, my dad filled the friends table with people I wasn't friends with because he thought I was friends with them.
Excuse me? Say again?
My dad invited people from my school to fill Maury's friends table with people that I didn't even know that he thought I was friends with.
So at your bar mitzvah,
there was jocks and stuff like that. And
but they showed up. But at your bar mitzvah, at Maury's friend table, it was full of kids from school that you didn't know?
Yeah. And the most awkward photo was when I had to pose for a picture with
all your
table.
Friends. Do you still have that photo?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like ha-ha laughing or I'm like really sad laughing right now?
No, it's ha-ha laughing now.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Stupid Twitter trending hashtags is actually super difficult to wrap my head around.
Oh,
so if you look on Twitter, hashtag filmstruck4 is trending. At least it is on mine. Hashtag filmstruck4. Let me explain this to you. In an effort to, quote, celebrate the personal nature of cinema, the streaming service Filmstruck, which caters to cinephiles, asked users, celebs, and filmmakers, and I will ask this question to you, Mocha.
Okay.
To name the four films that had personal impact on your life. So basically, what they're asking is...
Of all time?
Name the four films that define you.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, name the four films that define you. I'll give you some examples here. So
I can name them right now.
So Rian Johnson, director of The Last Star Wars, he said Brazil, 8.5, Ghostbusters, and Raging Bull. Jonah Hill said The King of Comedy, The Master, This is England, and some movie called Ratcatcher. People tend, I think, to get too heady with these things. Jim Cummings said Some Like It Hot, Children of Men, which is amazing. The Burbs. The Burbs.
I love that Tom Hanks movie. That was a fantastic movie.
Somebody else had said, this is a decent list. Star Wars, Reservoir Dogs, The Searchers, which I don't know what it is, and The Graduate.
Now, hold on. Like, it seems like they're naming their favorite movies, because how does Reservoir Dogs actually define somebody?
Well, no, because Reservoir Dogs can define you, because what a movie does, like Reservoir Dogs, is Reservoir Dogs turn people onto a different sort of way of enjoying a movie. Like that for a lot of people was the first time they'd ever seen anything like
defining
that.
Defining you, is that not your personality? Like if I watch the movie, I'll understand you?
Or no, I would say more define your tastes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What shaped your tastes.
Oh, see.
Which movies had the impact on you that made you either, one, love film, right? Reservoir Dogs turned a lot of people into film lovers.
That's one of my favorite movies, yeah.
And also sort of molded your tastes moving forward, and you still gravitate towards those. And also the movies, I would say, that you hold up all other movies to. If you like Star Wars, if Star Wars is one of those defining things, you can't help but watch Guardians of the Galaxy and in some way compare it to how Star Wars made you feel, right? So it's those sort of defining moments in your life when it comes to film.
See,
the four
hate,
films that define you.
These are my four.
You got your four already.
I got my four.
Yeah.
As soon as you said it, they just popped it in my mind.
Yeah.
This is how I know that they are my top four.
Yeah.
So Star Wars.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Scarface.
Yeah.
And a movie called Juice.
Juice.
Starring Tupac and Omar Epps.
Wow.
Omar Epps.
Wow. Okay.
Then mine suck.
Those are my four.
Okay, Maury, what are yours?
Perks of Being a Wallflower. 13 okay. Going on 30.
Jennifer Garner?
Yeah, I love that movie. I'll watch it every time it's on. Oh my God, I love that movie so much.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
God, that's the best.
Hey, listen, these are your movies.
I'm going through these lists. You would not believe the amount of people that have Legally Blonde on their list.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Great movie.
There's a ton of people.
What else?
Chicago. And it's a toss-up between Notting Hill and Back to the Future.
Pick one.
Okay, Notting Hill.
Okay.
Oof.
Do you have four, Roz, quickly?
I do, yeah. So my four would be Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, nice. Good mm-hmm. pick.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, frig, that's a good one.
One of the greatest teen sex comedies of all time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And True Romance.
Okay, that's a great list.
That's my list. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Empire Strikes Back, Revenge of the Nerds, and True Romance.
See, both of yours make mine look so sad.
But I'm telling you, Maury, having 13 on 30 says so much about you.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
So much. Hi there, this is the Roz and Mocha Show. Who's this?
It's Mike.
The four movies that define you or define your life.
It was E.T., Terminator, Red Dawn. And Fast Times at Richmond High.
Oh, my God. Oh, hold on a second here. I may have to take Revenge of the Nerds off my list and put Fast Times in there, because Fast Times had far more of an impact on me than Revenge of the Nerds did. I'm going to say Fast Times. Yeah. I'm changing my list right now, Mike,
Run down your list again, Roz.
My list is now Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Your revised list.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Empire Strikes Back, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and True Romance.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, hold on here.
I actually had the luxury of working at a video store when I was a kid, so I watched all those movies, but those are some of the more memorable ones that I remember.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Which video store did you work at?
A friend of mine, shout out to
Tim and his dad, Everything Video back in the days in Mississauga.
everything video in Mississauga.
I like that. All right. Hey, did they have that? Did they have that section in the video store that had
the curtain?
The curtain that you have to to go through.
No,
no.
There was a section there, but there was no curtain back then.
Oh, there's no curtain. No. It was just out there free.
Absolutely
free for seeing.
God,
all right.
That was so funny. Remember, you had to go to a video store to rent your porno.
Yeah.
Like just crazy, right? It was so nuts.
And you always, whenever you went in, as a kid, whenever you went into the store, you always kept an eye on that section to see who would come out from behind the curtain.
Being in acting, you would see your friends' fathers, right? Like, that was the weird part.
And how do you coolly go behind that curtain?
Well, you'd be surprised. I worked at a video store here in Toronto up on Eglinton West for years. And when somebody would go in, very few people would sneak in. Most people would just walk right in like they own the joint. Like most people didn't care. But the thing that I always found interesting was when you rented the VHS, every other VHS movie in the entire joint came in a black plastic case. But when you rented adult content, it came in a white plastic case. So
it stood out like a light.
It stood out. Like you couldn't just sneak in three returns. Like you would see people, they would have, a black case and then they'll sandwich the white case in the middle, or they'd wrap it in like a Now magazine and just sort of leave it there on the side. Like it was crazy what people would do to hide the returns. But renting, it was never a problem.
Well, renting, they used to leave it at the bottom of the pile. So if they came up with five, it was the fifth one on the bottom, and when they returned in a Dropbox at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Done.
Yeah. Dude, I used to have people come in and ask to put movies on reserve.
No!
From behind the curtain.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because they'd come in, and like somebody else would be watching it. And you'd be like, when's that due back? And I'd be like, they rented it for two nights. And they'd be like, oh, okay. So can I put a reserve on that for Sunday?
I'm like,
Sunday? Like, man, it's Thursday now, and you are planning ahead for Sunday?
Yeah.
Like, ay, ay, ay. But yeah, sure.
Hey, Mike, it was great chatting with you this morning. Thanks, man.
No worries. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah. You too, brother.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
I guess there's such a thing called Garlic Day. Yeah, and I have this conversation all the time with people because garlic is one of those smells that you either love it or hate it. Some people like the taste of garlic or garlic as an ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, like, if I cut garlic, if I'm working with garlic, I deliberately do not wash my hands afterwards.
Oh, really?
Because I love the smell of garlic on my fingers.
Oh, no.
I love it. You don't?
No.
Really?
I love garlic.
Yeah.
And I like using it in food.
Yeah.
But if I'm cutting the garlic and then gotta, mince it or whatever.
Yeah.
I wash my hands, like scrub it with soap right
really?
After.
Really?
I don't like any food smell on my fingers whatsoever.
No, see, to me, garlic doesn't smell, when I smell garlic on my hands, it doesn't smell like a food to me. Like it smells like
an herb.
Like it's something that's supposed to be there. Like it's something that put on deliberately. Like I love the smell of my garlic fingers so much that I'll take all my fingers, put the fingertips all together like I'm making a little beak.
Like a sock puppet.
Like a sock puppet. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I will put them all underneath my nose and just sit on the couch and smell my fingers.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I smell Matthew's fingers because he does all the cooking. So after he cooks with garlic, I will sit and smell his hands.
Just like he sits beside you and you grab his hand and just start sniffing it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Super weird,
God,
dude.
That's weird, man.
Because I love garlic fingers, but I don't cook with it. He does all the cooking.
That's
so I like smelling
the
his hands.
Opening scene in a horror movie.
Yeah, totally.
Let me smell your
fingers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, squeezing his knees like you do an avocado. Not ready yet.
Oh, you psychopath.
But they say that only 12% of people say it's okay to have garlic breath. What about garlic breath? Do you like garlic breath?
No, definitely not.
Really,
no.
Huh?
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
Really?
No. No, bad breath doesn't bother me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, bad breath really
coffee
doesn't
breath
bother
is,
me.
Though, you can't, there's no way coffee breath is okay with you.
Well, Catherine doesn't drink coffee, so I don't have to experience that. But I'm telling you, there's nothing, none of that stuff bothers me.
Really?
Smells don't, nothing, like nothing deters me. Like if I want to go in for a makeout,
yeah.
Like if I'm sitting there and I'm really like, really jonesing a French kiss. It doesn't matter. Like, nothing bothers me.
I'm not going to turn down a makeout session just because of garlic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sunday morning breath. You got to turn down Sunday morning breath.
No, absolutely not. No,
I will turn down Sunday morning breath.
Are you serious?
No.
I can't do morning breath.
Yeah.
Why?
What does he do Saturday that Sunday is so bad? Never mind.
Yeah. Please don't answer that question.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi there, Kiss 92.5, Roz and Mocha.
Hi, my name's Amina. My birthday is actually on April 12th as well, and I was trying to get through that day, and I just wanted to say a happy late birthday.
Oh,
to Mocha, that's right, yes.
Amina, happy belated birthday to you, too.
Thank you. It was a big one, and I was trying to get through that day, and I just wanted to say happy birthday.
Oh, what do you mean it was a big one? How old are you now?
I turned 25.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, congratulations.
You know, everyone's like halfway to 50.
Oh, shut up. Halfway to 50. 25 is a big one. 25 ain't a big one, girl.
What did you do to celebrate your 25th birthday?
I worked.
Yeah.
And then I went out for dinner with my boyfriend. And then I went to my cousin's and she made us some brownies. And
like special brownies?
Candles. No, not special brownies, but I had some of that too.
Oh, okay.
Good for you.
When? Like on Thursday night or did you wait till the weekend?
Oh, no, on Thursday night. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. You're not one of these 25-year-olds that's thinking you're old, are you?
My cousin tries to joke and, you know, she's the one who makes the halfway to 50 jokes. So I'm like, girl, it's
halfway
okay.
To 50.
You'll see when you get there.
Who thinks like that,
it.
Halfway to 50? Also, what's wrong with 50?
Nothing. She's just being a little
kid. Uh-huh. How old's your boyfriend?
My boyfriend's actually 22.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
There we go.
Look at you, Amina, 25-year-old dating a 22-year-old.
Roz, you're 43.
Yeah,
shut up, Maury. Everybody knows what needs to hear that. Age ain't nothing but a number.
How'd you guys meet?
Right. We met at Subway at school when we worked together.
like working at Subway or like in the Subway?
Yeah, like we were, no. We work at the Union Station at Brock University. We work at the Subway. Yeah, like the sandwich artist, you know?
I saw something posted the other day, and you can tell me if this is true, that at Subway, it's not on the menu, but if you ask, they will make you a sub with nothing but the cookies in it.
What?
I don't know about that, but I mean, if you ask, if that's what you want,
because you know how everybody loves those cookies at Subway, right?
Yeah.
I saw a picture of somebody where they were having their sub made, where it was the sub bun, and then just stacked in the bread were just like six cookies all lined up.
Get out of here!
I really wouldn't be surprised, honestly. Yeah. But the best thing ever, if you ever have the opportunity or know someone that works at Subway, get them to make you a mixture cookie, like a mega cookie with like the different doughs together. It is the best thing.
Oh no.
Ever.
Is that an off menu type secret item
too? Yes it is.
All
yes
right.
It is.
Well, good tip. Good tip.
So and your boyfriend met working at Subway.
Oh, we sure did.
And then why do you say it like that? Like, did you guys hook up at the actual restaurant?
Oh, hell no. Oh, my God, no.
Well, I don't know the way you said it.
That
you
been
sure
funny.
Did.
That would have been funny.
And who asked who out? You asked him out or he asked you?
Oh, it was a long 2 years.
Yeah.
Of
like
on and
long?
Off. On and off, on and off.
Long,
and then,
like...
pause
for one second.
Actually,
what's your name? Pause for one second. Pause
Amina.
One second.
Yeah.
Okay, Mina. Mocha, I will applaud you for that. Okay.
She completely ignored your joke. I don't think you heard that, Amina.
No. Anyway.
I'm good.
All right, girl. Well, listen, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for calling into the Roz and Mocha Show.
Absolutely. And honestly, guys, I just want to say that I don't know if you know how much of an impact you make on certain people's days. Like, I listen to you guys every single time I'm driving to work, and it's a huge part of my day, and I just want to thank you for what you do every day.
Thank you. How long have you been listening to the Roz and Mocha Show?
Just for as long as I could drive.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's since I was 16. So.
And between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Well, see, it was always a tough battle, but since we share the same birthday, great people are born on April 12th.
There
so
you
I'm
go,
sorry,
girl.
Roz.
Mm. Right. Enjoy being halfway to 50.
I will.
Like you,
I sure will.
Like you, Roz.
Shut up, Maury. All right. Thanks for calling.
No worries. You guys are awesome. You have a great day.
All right. Bye, hon.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You know me and why I don't go to weddings, right?
Yeah.
I said that as far as friends go, your wedding will be the last wedding that I ever attend.
What? That makes me feel so happy, dude.
Yeah. And every now and then I like to throw things out there to deter people from possibly inviting me to their wedding. Like I've said publicly a few times now that I feel the perfect wedding gift is a $15 gift card to Foot Locker.
Okay.
Right. So just so you know, if any idea that you might invite me to your wedding, you will receive a $15 gift card to Foot Locker. There's a woman in the UK that we're about to talk to who said that she went broke after attending weddings.
Broke?
Yeah. She's 30 years old. Her name is Georgina Childs. Yeah. She's moving back in with her parents because over the past 2 years, she went to too many weddings. She says that she spent $13,000 going to 20 weddings in 4 years.
Oh my God.
Okay. So let's break that down. $9,250 on weddings, $3,900 on bachelorette parties. She was a bridesmaid in 7 out of the 20 ceremonies.
Oh man.
And she's broke because of it. She said. So now she's got to move back in with her parents. You want to talk to her?
Hey, Georgina, how's it going? It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey. Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. First things first, I have a wedding I'd like to invite you to.
Oh, not another one.
are you going to any more weddings this year?
Yes, I have 4 this year.
Oh, my God. Have you not learned your lesson, girl?
Is this legitimate? Is this legit? Like, this story's completely 100% accurate that you claim that you went broke? And now you got to move back in with your parents?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but in the UK, the cost of weddings has just kind of spiraled in the last few years. And it tends to be more of like a weekend celebration or a couple of days at least. Rather than your traditional wedding day and obviously going away and staying overnight somewhere and having outfits and everything, it just mounts up. That alongside a lot of hen parties, which again, we're going abroad, we're going for weekends, it's not just nights anymore.
But so, do you know, so all of these people whose weddings you're going to, do you know them extremely well where you are seeing them on the regular, you hang out with them regularly, they're in your close-knit group of friends?
Yeah, I would say like 75% is like close-knit friends.
Yeah.
Some of them have been family as well, so 3 of my cousins and my brother also got married, so of course I was kind of obliged to go to those ones. And then some, are more like extended family friends or perhaps like a friend of a friend or something.
So why not say no to those ones?
Yeah, well, I kind of at the beginning of this year, so I knew that I was planning to move home to my parents. I thought maybe enough is enough. So I'm starting to turn down the ones where perhaps they're not like a really close friend.
So at some point when the cost starts creeping up, so $9,200 on weddings, $3,900 on bachelorette parties, you were the bridesmaid in 7 of the 20 ceremonies that you've gone to over the years. When you see these numbers start stacking up, why not back out of them sooner before you get to the point of where you have to move into your parents' house? Like, you had to have seen this coming.
Yeah, I guess so, but I think there's a bit of I would say like it's a bit of a social faux pas to turn down an invite. And there is the element that obviously for some of them, I of course want to be there when it's like my best friends. You know, I'll go to extreme lengths, whether that's traveling by train or, you know, going abroad to a wedding. I don't really want to miss out on those ones.
What kind of gifts are you giving?
So sometimes people have gift lists. So if they do, I tend to go for something that's kind of under £50. So I guess that's maybe what, like $70 to you?
Yeah.
If it's a lot of people nowadays ask for money towards their honeymoon, which sometimes I think is a bit more awkward because they can see the exact amount that you're giving. my way around that is I tend to just ask friends, or if it's family, ask family if they want to sort of chip in and give one lump sum, and so that I can kind of keep to the £50 budget or less.
Too much. This is why I don't go to weddings anymore.
Hey, Georgina, what did your parents say to you when you told them the reason that you had to move back home was because you went broke after attending 20 weddings in 4 years?
Well, luckily they're quite relaxed, so they weren't angry or anything. But I think that they just think that it has all got a bit out of hand, and how I would say more than the weddings, that the hen parties or the bachelorette parties, as you say, that perhaps they're the thing that they think I should be turning down more, because they are kind of spiraling a bit out of control, and it is these whole weekends away, and that all mounts up in cost.
That's why I don't do weddings. You invite me to your wedding, yeah. You get a $15 gift card to Foot Locker.
I'd understand completely.
Hey, Georgina Childs, thank you very much for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Right on.
All right, take care. Save that money, girl.
Yeah, I will.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you see this Tristan Thompson story?
The one that he cheated on Khloe Kardashian?
Well, yes, we know that.
Oh, the one that Khloe Kardashian forgave him and blames stupid groupies trying to trap my man?
No, not that one.
Oh, yeah, she blamed the women.
So, everyone's hating on Tristan.
Yes.
They had their baby girl last Thursday.
Yeah.
And on social media, he's been getting killed in the most hilarious way possible.
Oh, really?
So, his last post on Instagram, he's like pretty regular on Instagram. He'll post like every couple of days.
Yeah.
But his last one was 5 days ago. And it was a paid partnership with Neiman Marcus, and he was just posting a picture of sunglasses, yeah. Right? Promoting these sunglasses, and like he gave a shout out to like GQ and like the photographer and stuff like that, right?
Sure, sure.
So it started with one person who wanted to roast Tristan Thompson and then continued up until like the entire weekend, okay. Including up until now, where one person said something negative to Tristan Thompson in a very petty way where, and I can't find it because there's like literally, there's
thousands.
Like 240,000, 386 likes with like thousands and thousands of comments.
So
but it started with, I hope you.
Right.
And then something like extremely petty.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to read to you some that I found here. For example, I hope that you're never able to find the matching sock in your laundry basket. I hope every time you take a shower, there's low water pressure and it's freezing cold. I hope you hit your little toe on something at least once a week. I hope the storage setting notice keeps popping up on your phone anytime you press a button. So like, just like real petty stuff, like real dumb stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, if you look at all the pictures on his Instagram, people are loading up the comments. I hope Lady Gaga wears your skinned body to the Oscars. I hope the zipper on your jacket gets stuck. I hope you pour salt in your coffee instead of sugar. I hope you step on a wet floor with your socks on. That's the word. I hope you get a splinter every day. I hope every time you go to eat a chocolate chip cookie, it turns out to be raisin. I hope the next time you order something online, pay more for express shipping, but you end up not being home to receive it. So then it's driven all the way back to the post office depot and you have to find time to go and collect it. I hope Wi-Fi completely stops working for you. You have to go back to AOL dial-up and that your mom always makes a phone call right before you finally connect.
Oh man, some of these things, there's like, thousands of these.
Right?
I hope Nationwide is never on your side.
Listen, if you want to have an entertaining afternoon, like you want to forget about the crappy weather outside, just go search for Tristan Thompson on Instagram and look at any of his posts, especially the latest one where he's there with the sunglasses. And the I hope train right now is unbelievable. Unbelievable, dude.
I hope your phone charger only works when you hold it a certain position.
Yo, people don't struggle with that. Struggle with that is real.
Oh my God. Here, can I just end with this one?
Yes.
Okay. I hope you develop a speech impediment. So from now on, every time you introduce yourself, you'll have to say twistin'.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
So the question was asked to people, at what year do you start becoming an old person? And some of the things that they listed are when you start saying sentences that begin with back in my day, or number 9 on the list is not lifting heavy things because you're worried about your back.
Oh, no.
Getting hairier eyebrows, more nose hair, and more ear hair. Misplacing your keys and glasses all the time. Not knowing popular music. Groaning when you bend down. Mm-hmm. Talking a lot about your joints.
This is
you.
Can I
tell you, No. If anybody in this room this listens about is you, damn it, Maury.
I thought he was describing himself.
Feeling stiff, losing hair, and forgetting people's names.
Okay, wow. That's actually kind of a combination of the two of y'all.
Okay. So at what year? If these are all the things that when they polled people, they said, at what year do you become an old person where you start doing these things? What is that age where the majority of people said that this is the year that you start becoming an old person?
46.
Maury, 46? What do you say, Maury?
43. Roz, by the way, you're 43.
Thank you, Maury, for reminding me always. Jiggas.
Is it 46?
No, it's actually 41.
Oh, so you're already over it.
Dude, bruh.
Sorry.
Okay. Why? And they say that you have fully make the transition to old person by 57. The transition from old person.
That is a long transition.
Yeah, the transition.
Hold on, from 41 to 57? Yeah,
the transition into old person starts at 41 and you finish the transition. The metamorphosis finishes at 57.
That's 16 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say 9 years.
Yeah. Why were you going to say 9?
I did the math in my head and it came to 9.
You did it wrong.
Holy cow. Are you serious? 41?
Yeah, 41.
So you're in your transition.
I mean, yes, I'm worried. I'm transitioning. It's me wheeze, and I'm the one that gets accused of being old. Listen to that wheeze.
Why can't you just have like an adult conversation for once?
Yeah.
How can I have an adult conversation for once when it's super funny?
Yeah. Bend down right now and try to take your shoe off and listen to the noise that you make when you do this.
Okay. Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
You watch.
Yeah. Okay.
First of all, the first thing Maury did was I just pants
up. Yeah, like a dad. Maury stood up and pulled his pants up like a dad, and I'm the old one. Right? And I'm the old one.
Yeah.
Okay. We can do this. I've been standing forever.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Impossible. Let's. Okay.
Yeah. Maury has a hard time breathing. Yeah. Who's transitioning now?
Yeah, who's transitioning?
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
So it looks like that mayo ketchup hybrid from Heinz is coming to America.
What?
They sell it in the Middle East. And this was a huge debate on...
It's mayonnaise and ketchup in the same bottle.
In the same bottle.
So when you squeeze, you get an evenly distributed amount of both.
So hold on here. Explain this to me. Is it mayonnaise like on one side where they split the inside of the bottle? Or is it mixed?
It's mixed.
Oh, okay.
It's like Pert Plus.
So it's pink.
Yeah.
It's a two-in-one.
A two-in-one. Like is peanut butter really and
pink?
Jam.
What's that?
Is it pink?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would That's be, gross. Right?
That's nasty. No, thanks.
So you don't want that?
No. I'd rather do the mixture myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but then this becomes the perfect mixture.
No.
But that's only if you feel that ketchup and mayo go perfectly well together.
They do on ketchup? Or sorry, they do in hot dogs? They do in hamburgers?
No. Who puts
Not all the time.
First of all, let me... Hold on. Neither ketchup or mayo belong on a hot dog. Let's just get that out of there right away.
When they took mayonnaise away from the street meat vendors in the city, I got very upset until they brought it back.
Yeah, okay.
Wait,
no.
Who got upset?
I did.
No. Oh. No.
Who took it away?
The city, because you can't have a dairy product sitting out with the other condiments.
Because there's egg in.
So now they put it in the cooler.
I'm an adult. If I want mayonnaise, don't let the city
in the sun?
Yeah, don't let the city dictate my mayonnaise intake.
Yeah, I know. Just take it
in
a bucket
government,
of ice,
always
right?
effing with me. Come on, just leave me alone.
No, because it took one person to complain that it was, it went bad.
Okay, but can we just not, because I'm going to lose my mind here. Okay. Let's just leave hot dogs out of this conversation.
Sure.
Okay, because then I'm just going to go off on how neither ketchup or mayo should be on a hot dog.
Now I want a hot dog.
Okay.
What about mac and cheese?
Also, ketchup is for peasants. I've said this many times, and children. So what it is, so Heinz has in the Middle East a bottle of mayo chup.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Well, because they took a vote.
They just call it cacheo.
Cacheo, thank you.
Right. Trademark, by the way.
Thank you. So they sell this hybrid in the Middle East, and they've never sold it over here in North America. And even though they already have ketchup mayo sauces, like fry sauce and Thousand Island dressing, I guess, Heinz says that they got the votes, and after 5 days, over 500,000 people voted that they want it, so the sauce is coming to America. There's no word on when exactly it will hit stores.
So Thousand Island dressing is this anyway?
I guess that Thousand Island dressing, isn't it not ketchup, mayo, and relish all mixed up?
I
had no idea until now.
It's so thick.
Right? It's all I know is that it's so thick.
I can't.
It's
so
thick.
There's no way I can't have that dressing.
Dude, I had, when I was a kid, I remember one of my most decadent afternoons was I had a can of Tahiti treat. And
okay,
and then I took a piece of white bread, put Cheese Whiz on it, put strips of carrots in that, rolled it up into almost like a
party sandwich,
like a bun,
yeah,
right, and then dipped it in Catalina dressing. I thought I was a king.
Tell me you didn't have a bellyache after that, though.
Oh, man. Right? You know, everything
Mom,
hurt.
I gotta go to the doctor. I'm sick real bad.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Toronto schools never close.
No, of course not.
Growing up, when I was in Acton, top of the food chain, by the way, when I was in Acton, what would... your day would be ruined, and this happened, like, this was your life for months out of the year, is that you would wake up in the morning and turn on the television, and most likely it would be like breakfast television. And you would see, because they would do a lot of outside stuff, so you would see like the weather guy at the time who was standing on the street doing the weather, and there would be no snow in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I would have like 4 feet that I would have to get through to go to school that day.
Yeah.
So you would just grow up in Halton seeing the lack of snow in Toronto, and it would drive you crazy. You would be so jealous because it's not that far.
Yeah.
You're like 40 minutes away, 45 minutes away, and you're in Hoth, and they're living it up. You know what I mean? Like, it was just terrible.
So they're just lounging on Tatooine.
And they're just lounging on Tatooine.
Oh, Star Wars jokes.
Thank you. Yeah, it sucked. But yeah, that's like, oh God. I mean, not that there was anything.
Did your mom ever remind you that she, no matter what, whether there was snow, sleet, or whatever, she always went to school uphill both ways with her books, you know, tied together with string?
Yeah. I mean, yes, 100%. I used to get that, but it was never really the deciding factor.
Yeah.
Because it just, I understood snow. I wanted to go to school because that's where the girls were. Right. I want to sit at home all day. I wanted to go, but I also wanted to just move to Toronto.
Yeah.
And I remember the first city that I ever went to was Hamilton. And I thought Hamilton was the greatest place in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for about a year, because Hamilton was the first city I ever went to. And so for like a good solid year, all my dreams were to just move to Hamilton. And then, and then later that summer, I went to Toronto and I was like, oh, man.
Bypass Hamilton, please.
Bypass that. But I thought Hamilton was the greatest place in the world, because you grow up in Acton, you only know what you know.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, if we wanted to go to McDonald's growing up, you would plan a run to McDonald's on like a Tuesday that you were going to go on Saturday.
Where was the nearest one? Georgetown,
right? Was the closest McDonald's. And then, of course, you had to go.
How far is Georgetown from Acton?
I was like 20 minutes, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Something like that, 15, 20 minutes. But
all
then
that for a Big Mac,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, and then you also might get your ass whooped when you're going to Georgetown, because at the time, Georgetown and Acton people didn't, if you...
But were you wearing anything that would like make you stand out as being from Acton?
They knew. They just knew.
Oh, they knew.
It was the haircut, right?
Yeah, we were a little dirtier.
Oh, okay.
They could tell. And then word would get out, and then all of a sudden you'd be eating your McDonald's in the parking lot, and other cars would just start showing up. Like, it got ugly.
Like, you guys are far away from Acton, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing here?
I'm telling you, that's exactly what it was like.
Yeah?
Yeah, you may have to go, if you want nuggets, but you may also have to rumble. Right, like that was the payoff.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go to McDonald's, right? And so I just wanted to get out of there, buddy. I thought Hamilton was
the
greatest.
Never be able to enjoy my McDonald's if I knew that there was a chance I was going to get into a fight later.
Oh, you couldn't do it. There was always a chance that you were going to get into a fight growing up in Acton. There was always a chance you could do it.
From Acton going into Georgetown?
Yeah.
I feel like,
you were tall and had long hair. Who wants to beat up that?
Well, no, everybody. But the problem was that I was 6'1 when I was in like grade 8, so I wasn't yet a man. But the problem is that the people that would try and beat you up were all men.
Right.
Right? I didn't have that kind of strength. So you just wind up getting tossed around.
Yeah.
Like it's not cool, right?
Yeah.
And I was real pretty and I had tight jeans and like I was not built for fighting, right? But you still had to. You want them nuggets, you gotta rumble.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So Beyonce got caught up in the Streisand effect, is what it's called. After her Super Bowl appearance in 2013.
I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah. And I'll explain that in a second. So Beyonce at Coachella over the weekend, she and her people, her publicists, wrote major news outlets and asked them to not post any unflattering fan photos and to only publish photos that were Beyonce approved. This is news outlets.
Okay.
Because in 2013, what happened was BuzzFeed did a story where they only posted unflattering photos of Beyonce from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they were funny. Remember those ones where she was just like, rah, like looking all crazy.
Well, like she was weightlifting and stuff.
Weightlifting. And then, so what happened was, is that Beyonce's people called BuzzFeed and said, hey, pull those down.
Yeah.
And then BuzzFeed said no, but then the story got out that she asked them to pull them down. And then next thing you know, Huffington Post, all these newspapers around the world and Reddit are then doing Photoshop battles with those pictures on the thing. So the Streisand effect is when you want something that is sort of innocuous to go away. You try and kill something, but by killing, trying to kill it, you only make it larger. And so what happened with Barbara Streisand was, years ago, Barbara Streisand sued a photographer. Her house in California is on the coast.
Uh-huh.
And she sued a photographer for publishing a picture on his website of, it was an aerial shot of her house. He was not a paparazzi. What he did is he worked for like the California Coastal Sciences Research Department.
Okay, huge nerd.
And they document photos of the California coastline to study erosion.
Sure.
Okay. So Barbara Streisand found out that they had this picture on their website, and so she sued him. And because that story got out, millions of people wound up looking at this picture. And she lost the lawsuit and had to pay him $155,000.
Oh, no.
But here's where it gets interesting, is that when she sued him, this is why it's called the Streisand effect. When she sued him to say, take that picture of my house down off your website.
Yeah.
That photo had all of 6 views, and 2 of which were from Barbara Streisand's lawyer.
Oh, no.
So when she decided to sue to get the picture taken off the website, nobody had actually ever seen this picture.
Oh, no.
And then so she launched a lawsuit, and then the picture went everywhere around the world.
Because everyone wanted to know.
Because everyone wanted to know what the big deal with this picture was.
Oh, no.
And she wound up losing the website. So that's where the Streisand effect comes from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So sometimes you're best to just like let people do their thing.
Yeah. Don't make a big deal.
Yeah. So it had 6 views, and then she sued, and then it became, if you search Barbara Streisand house, this is the picture that comes up. And
really?
It's millions and millions and millions and millions of views. And he owns the picture, and she lost the lawsuit. But like, it had 6 views when she sued the guy.
I'm looking at all the pictures from Beychella.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling it. Like on our website, kiss925.com. Yeah. And these are like fan pictures too. And so far, I don't see anything that's like not flattering. Like no, she looks like a boss, a straight up queen.
Yeah. My favorite tweet from somebody who was watching Beyonce at Beychella was, I've seen God, and she is thick.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
This is a fascinating study. It's a very hard one to conduct, too, because the people who are, I guess, taking this survey would, like, under a blanket in the closet with all the lights off, making sure nobody's home. Because the question, the question was this. There's a whole bunch of questions, but the one that stands out to me is, do you look forward to your boss's vacation more than your own vacation?
Oh, my God, yes.
Wow.
1 in 4 people look forward to their boss's vacation more than their own, just so their boss isn't in the office anymore.
It's just the mood in the area changes. You're still working hard, but it just, you kind of calm down a bit.
So they had said, if you did your boss's job, would you do that job better than they do? And 1/3 of employees said that they would do their boss's job better than they do.
Of course they said that. Because every single employee, no matter where you work, you always think that you can do that job better. Because you're always going to have some sort of disagreement with decisions that are made.
Yeah, but can you stand up in front of the entire group of employees and be able to speak as well as they do? You may be able to do the job well, but there's lots of things that you also have to do.
Yeah, so here are the number one complaints that people have about their bosses.
Okay.
Mood swings.
Yeah.
Who are you considering your bosses? Me and Mocha or somebody else that works here?
Adam.
Oh, okay. Mood swings. They don't like that. They say one thing and then do another.
Mm-mm-mm.
this is my Matthew. Your husband could have written this list about you, Maureen. I'm going to change this. This is no longer about bosses. This is the top 10 complaints that Maury's husband has against Maury. You tell me if any of these are wrong, okay?
Oh, no.
Okay, mood swings.
Ding.
Okay. They say one thing and do another.
Ding.
They never say thank you.
Ding.
They set a bad example.
Ding.
They're patronizing.
What does that mean?
Just say ding.
they're incompetent.
Ding.
They don't understand what their employees do, meaning you don't understand what Matthew does.
Ding, 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 okay. Ding, ding.
They set their own rules.
Ding.
They're inconsistent.
Ding.
They don't communicate well.
Ding.
Yeah, see?
So change the title. The title again is what?
The title again is the top 10 things that, the top 10 complaints that Maury's husband has about Maury. Oh,
ding.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Rox and I went out yesterday because we both had very important business to do. I had to go to the LCBO. And she, it was the day for her. She looked at the calendar and realized that her library books had to go back yesterday.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sure they would have given her a pass.
Yeah, especially because we got there walking and the library was closed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did they not have a book return?
Responsible kid.
Yeah, so, yeah, she put in the book return, but she's so like, today's the day that the library books have to go back. And then so we walked up and like five blocks or whatever, it is three blocks. And then, and then so she brought her book back, but I had to go to the LCBO. Desperately.
Yeah.
Was it empty?
It was empty, right?
Yeah.
Can you bring kids in there?
In the LCBO? Yeah, but it's weird. You just can't, if your hands are full, you're not allowed to hand a kid a bottle of wine and say, hang on to this. Which is weird to me.
That you can't?
Yeah.
But that's what they got carts for.
I know, but let's say I'm just in there and there's no carts or whatever. It's a huge pain in the ass.
What, you're only getting three bottles?
Yeah, and also I refuse to use those little tiny carts that look like a baby buggy stroller.
Why?
Because, I don't know, they're for children.
The little green ones?
No. The green one's fine. Oh,
the mini carts.
Yeah, it's like the mini grocery cart.
You know the problem with those is that if you're loading up, because the cart is so small, it really makes it look like you have a lot of bottles.
It does, yes. Thank you.
And you can have four bottles in there.
Yeah, and the cart's not big enough to drop a case of cider in.
No, not at all.
Right?
So you have
it's
to end
a little
up,
bit off.
You end up walking... holding that case anyway.
Yeah. No, I'll never forget that when you're with, because Catherine doesn't drink that much, right? So and I, you know me, I love cider.
Yeah.
And I've called ahead before to find out if the store, the LCBO, will have enough cider if I'm going away for the weekend, if I'm going to the cottage or whatever like this. And so I called one time. I called the LCBO in Liberty Village. Mm-hmm. And they're great in there. And I called and I was just like, hey, do you guys, I just want to make sure I'm going to come in. I need to see if you guys have like a packed case of 24 Brickwork cider because I don't want loose cans. It's too heavy. Like, give me one that you still have in the back. And they're like, if we don't have one, then, you know, I'm sure we can wrap one up. I didn't give my name, nothing. Yeah. But I guess they have call display. And so I go into the store and I'm about to ask the person if I can get somebody to wrap up 24 cans of cider for me. And then I look over on the counter and there's one there. So they took a case and then did that thing where they put another case over top of it, taped it all together and wrote my name on it. Right?
Yeah.
Which to me, I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. What customer service. Yeah. And then the whole time I'm paying for it, I'm like, because Catherine was out in the car. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get this into the car and she's going to think that I'm the biggest alcoholic ever. Right? Where to me, it was the greatest day ever until I walked outside of the LCBO. And then I had to turn it around where they Sharpie wrote my name on the side of it so she wouldn't see it. And I got in the car. She's like, man, that was fast.
I got skills, like, baby. I got skills.
There's nobody in there.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Meghan Markle, if she doesn't have the biggest family, I don't know who does. Because every day there's a new family member who's like coming out to talk about her.
You sure she's not Guyanese? Guyanese people got like thousands in family.
So let me read you this.
Or Italian.
Because just the whole debate of like who you and who you do not invite to your wedding is just so personified by this, because everybody on her side of the family's pissed because they haven't got a wedding invite yet.
Yeah.
But they just keep talking about her. So listen to this. So Meghan Markle's brother, his name is Thomas Markle Jr. He's 51.
Uh-huh.
I guess maybe we're a half brother. So he claims that Meghan Markle has forgotten her roots by refusing to invite close relatives as she gets ready to marry Prince Harry. So He tells the Daily Mail that Meghan is, quote, falsely trying to portray herself as the new Princess Diana. He goes on to say she's clearly forgotten her roots. It's torn my entire family apart. Meg likes to portray herself as a humanitarian, a people's person, and a charitable person, but she is none of those things to her own family.
Wow.
She is giving the greatest performance of her life. She is acting phony. I've read that Meg wants to be like Diana. Diana was worshipped by everyone in the world. She was loved for the right reasons. That's what Meg wants, but I don't think it's going to happen. She's not genuine like Diana. Then the interviewer goes on to ask Thomas Markle Jr. if he's received an invite to the wedding yet. And he says no, but quote, I do expect one and I'm looking forward to going. I don't see why not. It is what it is. I'm family.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be waiting for Canada Post to deliver that letter anytime soon.
Are you kidding? How do you do an interview and say this stuff and then say, yeah, but you know what? I am family, so I do expect to get an invite because family's family.
Nah. All those family members who are pissed off at Meghan Markle for not getting the invite.
Yeah.
Don't expect to see Meghan Markle like in front of you unless it's in a magazine on the internet or on television.
Yeah.
Like for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Rest of your life. You are never seeing Meghan Markle ever again. She belongs to the monarchy now.
No.
That's it.
You're never going to see her again. And also, I think that Thomas was like arrested for like drunk fighting a few of his friends. And like, it's just.
Come on.
But I every day there's a new person from her extended family. Who is coming out to just say all this stuff.
The way for all of Meghan Markle's family right now.
Yeah.
You are now just like us, like Roz and I, like everybody else.
No, I would say less.
No, like collective. Yeah. Like we're watching this from the outside. Like don't expect to send an invite for like a big family reunion and Meghan Markle's going to show up. Or don't say, hey, this year we're going to do Christmas at our place. You know?
Yeah. Listen, we got to do it on the 23rd because grandma's got to be on the thing on the 24th.
Right.
Yeah, that's you're not having those conversations.
Can somebody reach out to Meghan and see if she's free
on
the 23rd? Maybe her and Harry can pop by for like an hour.
Yeah, Thomas Markle Jr. is not going to have a conversation with Meghan Markle that goes, God, 1 year, can we just all just go on vacation and just not buy anybody gifts?
Yeah.
Can we just all do that as a family? Yeah. They're not having that conversation.
No, not at all. Not at all. You're not texting Meghan being like, hey, we're thinking family cruise.
Yeah.
Starting Boxing Day.
She's giving the greatest performance of her life. She's acting
phony. Man, y'all are nuts.
I've read that Meg wants to be like Diana. Diana was worshipped by everyone in the world. She was loved for the right reasons. That's what Meg wants, and I don't think it's going to happen. She's not genuine like Diana. Yeah, that'll get you invited to the wedding.
But hey, Tom, you getting an invite to the wedding?
He goes, yeah, no, I do expect to get one, though. Looking forward to going. I don't see why not. I mean, it is what it is. I am family.
That's such a loving brother.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
Man, a lot of people love this part of the podcast. It's Ask Roz and Mocha.
Mm-hmm.
This is once a week at Kiss925 on Instagram. You'll see a picture that says Ask Roz and Mocha. And we just get a ton of questions. You just literally ask us anything, and we'll answer it on the podcast. And we also get people on the phone to ask their question to us directly.
I like this. Who's joining us today?
This is Chrissy. Hi, Chrissy. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What is your question?
So if your spouse gave you a free pass to cheat with your biggest celebrity crush while they were in town, would you do it?
Yes.
Come on.
Wow. Maury, like without a doubt, said yes, without even skipping a beat.
Okay, now when you say, before we start getting into the logistics of this, now when you say a free pass, does that mean that your partner will know it happened?
Yes, but there's no repercussions.
So
everything will go back to normal. There won't be any grudges, nothing.
Okay, so your partner will know. So you have to, in order for this to happen, you have to inform your partner that you had the affair or that you used your hall pass. You can't just anonymously go and do this and carry on like nothing happened.
Exactly.
Right, so it has to be a celebrity that does not live in the city, right? Like it can't be a celeb that already lives here?
Well, no. It's just your, it's that.
It could be either or.
It could be either or. It's up to you who your number one is.
Yeah. Well, because Matthews is Sean Desmond and he lives like, what, a block away?
Right. So your answer to the question is yes, Maury, you would 100%. If you were given,
oh my God, yes.
If you were given free reign to step out on your husband and with zero repercussions. Now, can I ask another question before we answer?
Sure.
Okay. Would you have to go home and explain to your partner in detail about what happened?
No, you don't have to.
Oh.
And there needs to be rules. No kissing.
No.
Let's not. Stop changing the scenario.
Stop changing the scenario.
Oh, I just assumed that cheating is always no kissing.
No.
Okay.
Because that, to you, is that because that's not cheating if there's no kissing?
Wow. You know what? Don't even answer that.
What are you, an early 90s call girl? I watched Pretty Woman one too many times?
Big mistake.
Huge. Okay, so the answer to the question of if you were given a hall pass by your significant other and your celebrity crush showed up in town and you had access to having the affair, would you have the affair with no repercussions? Maury's answer is 100% yes.
Well, I'm not going to turn down Zac Efron.
My answer is 100% no.
Same.
Zero.
I would never, ever, no. ever. And I'll tell you why. It's because I would have the guilt, because I just love my wife and my family so much that I would feel guilty even still for the rest of my life, knowing that I stepped out on our marriage. Even if she said it was okay, I wouldn't be okay with it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the problem with this would
be... Well, now
be,
you're making me feel bad.
Because the problem with this, okay, it's not so much, you know, me wanting to use the hall pass or stepping out, or maybe I need to deal with something that I got to deal with, whatever it is. It's once you start going down this road, it's at some point going to have to be reciprocated. And there is no way I could ever, ever handle if Catherine went and had the hall pass affair with her favorite person.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I would die. I would die every single day. I would just die.
Also, her favorite person is me.
Right. So we know that it would be Mocha that Catherine would have the affair with. And so that ruins everything. Like, it ruins all levels of my life at that point. Get ruined. But there you go. Thanks so much for the call, Chrissy.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. If you had the opposite sex child than you currently have, what would their names be? Oh, did you have a girl name for Cruz? Because Mocha has a little boy who is almost a year now.
Yeah, you know what?
Did you have a girl name or no?
I think we did.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. If we had a girl, Lita, after the wrestler Lita.
Oh, wow.
Trish, after the wrestler Trish.
Fair enough.
Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
I would say Stephanie would be the female version of Steve for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
Former WWE wrestler.
So when your wife, Jenna, was she fine with all these names?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, cool.
Hey, man, this is a podcast.
Fair enough.
I can say whatever I want. How about you? Because you have a little girl.
Well, and we had talked about this, and Roxy is the name of our kid. And if she was a boy, we were going to call him Rocket.
What? That's sick. Wait, somebody else has a name.
I'm not saying I had this conversation with the singer Lights. I'm not saying I didn't have this conversation with the singer Lights.
That's right. Yeah. Because
but then
Lights,
she had a kid and named her boy Rocket. And after way after I had said this multiple times publicly, I love Lights. She's wonderful, but I think she stole my baby name. Because I'm a huge fan of Rocky and everything else, so I think we might have just started calling the kid Rocky. I'm not 100% sure, but if that's the case, I just would have named the kid Rocky. So I don't know. It was either going to be Rocket or Rocky.
Nice.
Yeah.
If I was a girl, it would have been Hilda.
Did your parents tell you that?
Yeah, I would have been Hildy or Hilda.
Hilda. Oof. Geez.
Damn it, Hilda.
Damn it, Hilda.
Next question. Jeez, ask Roz and Mocha. This is a question submitted to our Instagram at Kiss925. Aaron Spanton says, if you were arrested with no explanation to your family and friends, what would they assume you had done? Roz, go.
Jeez. I don't even know, because I'm not a violent guy by nature, so it wouldn't be fighting. It certainly wouldn't be like drugs. I've only been driving for a year, so it wouldn't be like speeding or street racing. I don't know. I think that I would get caught up in some sort of multi-leveled scheme to try and make money. Like, it would be a money crime.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be fighting. I would have invested in something or got involved with somebody who I trusted, and it turned out that they had just been BSing me for years, and it would be some, I would get swept up in that.
Right.
Is what would happen. Yeah. What about you?
I think Stealing, maybe?
See, because I asked you this question years ago, and you said 100% fighting.
Oh, yeah, fighting, too. Yeah, oh. That as well, yeah. Sorry, number one would be fighting.
Yeah.
And number two, I think, would be stealing.
Right, Maury?
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion. No, you don't get arrested for that in this country.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So what would the crime
keep doing
be?
It.
Yeah,
so keep,
all right, what else do we have on here? From your own point of view, this is from Christy. Christy Mooch.
Okay.
From your own point of view, what makes you special?
Maury, go.
Oh, no.
Go.
I'm innocent. Like, I'm just like an innocent guy. I think that makes me special, right? Like, I'm cute and innocent.
Innocent? Define innocent. Like, to like, you, when you what look does at innocent someone, mean?
Like, I don't mean innocent as in you committed a crime, you're in no, front no, of a no, judge. No, I just no. mean innocent. Like, you're very innocent. You come across innocent, like you're non-threatening.
But is that what makes you special? Is that you feel that you that that's what makes you special?
Well, I'm having a hard time coming up with other things. Like,
okay.
I'm a good listener.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're actually one of the worst listeners I've ever met in my entire life.
Okay. So not that.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't say you're particularly kind.
Well,
I wouldn't say you're particularly giving. Particularly.
Well, okay. I'm a good cuddler.
Mocha's cuddled Maury before. Is he a good cuddler?
Mm.
Yeah. I would say you're a hard worker.
Okay.
I would also say one of the things that makes you special is you may be one of the most self-interested people I've ever met in my life.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm very interested in things.
Damn it, Maury. I don't know what would make me special, to be honest with you.
I can answer that for you.
Which is what?
You're incredibly smart.
No, I don't need you to answer. No, I think that my, I think that what I do better than most people I know is time management. I manage to put a lot of things into very few hours and accomplish the vast majority of them. I would say that that's what makes me special. Also, super gorgeous.
Oh, I would, man.
I'm tall, narrow hips,
you know,
good
and I
legs.
Was, hold on, Mocha, just going to say.
Mocha, hold on. Keep describing yourself.
I was just going to say.
I like, never got acne, not even once when I was a kid.
Went that sentence without being the egotistical maniac.
Still have all my hair. Look dynamite in a pair of jeans.
You have cold hands.
I have cold hands.
Like cold hand Luke.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm dead from the wrist down. That's why touching Maury never bothers me.
Okay, that is next level wheeze. You sounded like the Predator alien just now. You wheezed. Holy cow. And on that note, that comes to
we didn't get to you.
End.
What makes you special?
I don't know, man. I would like to think of myself as being kind and considerate.
And you remember everyone's birthday.
And I remember everybody's
and
birthday.
And everybody's name and everything about anybody, because Mocha has the biggest heart of anybody I've ever met in my life.
Maury, your birthday, we just celebrated back in January.
Yeah. Not true.
Cannot wait to celebrate again. That is it. So every week, on Instagram, at Kiss925, we'll post a picture that says, Ask Roz and Mocha. Ask away, and you could be a part of the podcast as well.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com
or on the KISS 92.5 app.